Weissman.
Brad Keselowski is going to be shown the black flag.
It's the Black Flag Podcast.
Every fucking week. Fuck, I hate my fucking job.
Race analysis.
Yeah, we're only girls pull hair, so.
Nagy forgets that if they changed the rules and took the champion's provisional away, he wouldn't have been able to race the last 2 years, so.
Occasional alcohol consumption.
Jimmy Johnson is on pit road because I think he's the leader.
And calling people on their shit.
It refrains me from not beating the shit out of you right now because you asked me stupid questions.
This week's Black Flag Podcast is now in session.
Hey, we edged him out. We beat him, so it's all good.
I dropped a piece on my microphone. Fuck.
I think they call this boy dinner.
Do you want ants?
That's how you get ants.
I'll just lick it off the microphone.
Wow.
He's never sucked.
No. How to tell one of us went to Connecticut racing this weekend.
The worst part about having a mustache is certainly trying to eat something with fucking frosting on the top of it.
I can just feel my face getting stickier with every bite.
You're just walking through like a supermarket.
You should see what the frosting's doing too.
That too.
You just like take a bite out of a cupcake in the truck on the way back. You walk into a gas station, supermarket, whatever, and people are like, is that cum?
Yeah, it looked like you just topped off somebody.
which if it's a gas station, someone has certainly been topped off in the last 10 minutes outside.
Welcome to the Black Flag Podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brad went to Connecticut. This is episode 270. I'm Charlie. I'm Sanborn. You're Brad Sauce here. You're Bobby Timmons.
That's me.
All sorts of racing happened this weekend.
Shout out, Stoney.
Yeah, thanks, Stoney.
You're the fucking man. These are just, for those that have never had a short track baker, carrot cake, cupcake, you honestly, I don't think you've lived.
No,
it's just... Certainly. Even if you've done 99% of things, this is 1%.
I've been working hard to get the old scale number to say less than 200, and it might have gone just straight back to like 204 there.
You know, that's probably okay, Bob.
Yeah.
That's
you know, to make you got to live, you know.
To make it way worse, I planned it out just poorly enough that I am also trying to get the scale number to go down a little bit. And about 4 months ago-ish, I bought a bunch of Girl Scout cookies off of Mike Rainville, who also lives in Stafford, Connecticut, or around the area. So picked up 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
Are you a Thin Mint, a peanut butter patty? What are we?
Peanut butter patties are good. I like the Samoas. The Thin Mints are disgusting.
Are they Samoas or Caramel Delights?
Caramel Delights, but people call them Samoas. I feel like more. I always go Caramel Delight. You know,
It is a Caramel Delight.
And then someone's just like, you know what I really like is those Samoas. And
it's looking down
like it's the same fucking thing.
Like Hawaii? I don't understand.
Yeah,
I think that was the guy that threw you out of Oasis.
Oh well, I broke his nose, so I'm not too worried about it. at least this knows anyway. So you went to Stafford, you went to Oxford at some point.
A couple times,
that's true. I had the sweet and fortunate opportunity to go to K1 Speed in Boston. Indoor NASCARs, celebrating the one and only Craig Smith 2015 Sports Series champion over at the Beech Ridge Motor Speedway. Also happens to be a fellow coworker of mine. So he worked 20 years at our establishment. So we went and celebrated a little Craigery there. And, obviously we have quite a bit of experience NASCARing, right, Bob? Even Bradley, you're pretty fucking all right at it for the limited experience.
He's a prolific indoor carter.
That's all I have.
I knew going
just
into it.
Good enough to be dangerous.
Which was kind of my problem too. So
that's the only way to go rental go-karting.
Right. Well, so the problem is when you have myself, who has the experience that I do, you have Craig Smith, who has the experience he does, my boss, Don, who drag races, and then you have a bunch of dudes that work on cars for a living. It's going to be probably a fucking problem, right? So we go out there. Jerk myself off a little bit here. We set quick time, right? Obviously, for the group that we had.
And the practice/qualifying event.
Right. So I wasn't really paying attention. Shocker, I guess, right? That's what the format was. So I knew that...
If you got the pole, they inverted the whole field, right?
Well, see, I wish. Because I knew that if I started up front, I was just going to get absolutely fucking plugged out of the way in the first corner. Mm. So I went out and I qualified first. And just not really paying attention, they set the lineup. I'm like, I'm on pole in a cart that I haven't been in yet. Like, I'm probably going to die. These guys are not going to, they're not even going to attempt to make the corner. And they're electric go-karts, too.
I love the electric ones.
I hated it.
I love them because you can drive the fuck out of them. Like, the beat them like a trailer park whore.
The problem was you couldn't play any games beforehand because they have like the, they can kill them all.
Yeah, they shut them right down.
So you're all going exactly the same speed. And then they turn them all on. And then I was like, you light it up like Bob just said. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to get far enough away from Craig, who was starting right behind me. I think I might have CTE. Honestly,
if those go-karts had 9 watts of electric power,
you had 18.
You had 18.
Yeah. Yeah. I got hit so fucking hard. And
that's the price you pay for setting quick time.
Well, I wasn't paying attention. Probably shouldn't have done that. That's all right, though. I even tried to like hug the corner as tight as I could so I didn't get sideways. Didn't matter.
Cover the brake, shade left. Didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. I ended up in the parking lot anyway. So he plugs me out of the way and they instantly just shut us all down. But Craig is now like a 3/4 of a lap ahead of all of us.
Yeah, you can't catch up under caution.
And I was like, well, fuck, now I'm fighting for second already. And same thing, Don and I just absolutely fucking throwing haymakers at each other, slugging each other out of the way. Had a great time. Had a nice little bronze go-kart trophy got to bring home with me. Couldn't get the silver because last lap, again, ended up in the parking lot knowing that I shouldn't have been right in front of him. But you'll have that in on those bigger jobs and in big-time auto racing, you know? So, that was my big K1 speed experience.
The electric go-karts are tough because you always know, like, in the moment, you're like, I'm going to hit this guy so fucking hard. And then, like, 2 seconds later, you're just completely throttled down. You're like, fuck, they saw that.
Yeah. Well, that was the tough part in qualifying, too. So they did, like, a practice qualifying then the race because we had 3 sessions, right? So the second one, I literally only got 2 laps in, and they just shut me right down. Like half speed at most. Everybody else
save the tires
buzzing right around me.
Time.
I'm like, that's fucking kind of a waste. Like that kind of sucked. So then I knew that I was going to have to get my money's worth in the third one. And but we might have to buy them a go-kart. I'm not sure.
Nah.
Those things do take quite a beating. It took it like a true champion there. So also for any of those that have ever said that we're bad for short track racing, which has been said before, not really sure why.
Not very often, but it has
happened.
That one guy at White Mountain was pretty mad that day.
Oh, was he ever? I forgot about that. Yeah. Wow. From across the pit area, he was angry at me. Actually, he was angry at Brad, and he thought I was Brad, and then I got yelled at, and I said, you're yelling at the wrong fucking person. But anyway.
It took about 5 seconds for him to turn his anger over to Charlie, which, damn. If you could believe that.
We go up as a team, we go down as a team. So if you get mad at one of us, you're mad at all three of us. I just have to accept that.
I took the brunt of it.
Charlie likes to motherfuck my customers, and I have to buy them beer at the bar. And well, it all works out. It'll happen.
Right from time to time. So Lindsay, between the two of us, actually made the call. She wanted to see our friend of the program, Nate Barth, first limited race in Smitty's old car, right? Kind of a big deal for him.
The only reason I stayed tuned in after the super late model race on Saturday.
Right. So again, we went to K1 Speed in Boston. That's an hour and a half south from our current location in Scarborough, Maine. Went there.
Which is another 45 minutes south of Oxford Plains Speedway.
You get it, Bob. So we went down there and Lindsay's like, hey, we kind of want to see Nate race. I'm like, let's go. Vamanos. So we hop in the old V-dub Atlas. Went about Mach Jesus all the way up 95, right past where we live, another fucking 30 exits north. Took exit 63 all the way down to Oxford Plains Speedway. Caught the last 2 races. Seemed like it was a decent show. Got to keep track of a little bit of it on Sunday, but even Saturday, the limiteds went out there. Good to see. There was like 13, 14-ish, I think.
I think there was even more than that. I tuned in and watched most of it at work. I was actually working on my race car, but yeah, good car counts on almost everything.
There was 30 super late models?
31 took the green, I think. They had over 45 where they're practicing. Some guys just getting tuned up for the next day.
Healthy chunk of modifieds, too.
Yeah, they condensed. Basically, they got rid of what we used to call Welfare Wednesday or Food Stamp Friday, which was the the lower division racing. And it's just put a pin in that.
Yeah.
It was the Mad Bombers, huge field of cars, and... a lot of anticipation because there was a lot of rookies, and that division kind of tends to be a little clusterfucky, and they went green to checkered.
It's supposed to be, though.
Yeah, because
it's just job.
Mad Bombers. Right. I mean,
amateur night at the strip club, if you will.
And the guy that won has a podium in the Oxford 250, but who's counting? Corey Morgan won that race, and it went green to checkered. That didn't seem like a lot of fuckery. That was a good race to watch. They had the cop cars. Good field of those. Pretty much anytime when you have 2 heat races, that's a solid field in today's world of short track racing. So the cop cars were there. I have no idea who won. Kind of was like
the cop, obviously.
Yeah, the Ford Crown Victoria did win,
officer, whatever,
and finished second. Doofy. And finished 15th. Super late models were there.
I kind of want to announce one of those now and just announce them all as like officer, whatever their last name is.
Travis Stearns drove to the lead early and looked like he had a good enough car to hang on to it and win the race. Had a pretty big lead, caution, a couple cautions, wiped it out. And on the broadcast, it's hard to tell what's going on if you're not there in person, obviously. And he was leading over Trevor Sanborn and Scott McDaniel, and then he just lifts in the middle straightaway. And McDaniels and Trevor go blowing on by, and then he gets back going. And I was like, well, what the fuck was that all about? That was strange. And Travis, pretty good about it. On the, he ended up finishing second or third. Trevor went on to win the race. He said, "Yeah, just a miscommunication. Said there was a yellow and there wasn't. The track called a yellow, according to him or another driver I was talking to later on Saturday night. The track called a yellow, and then they're like, oh, never mind, still green. So
yeah, you can't do that.
What you absolutely can't do is lift for a yellow flag.
I've never actually lifted until I saw the lights come out,
which plays into what I did on Sunday as well. But we'll get to that later. So then they had the Rebels, which is the Bang Bangers. Huge field of those, 24, 25 of them. I think Cody Childs won that one over his dad, and his dad said that said ass in victory lane, so that was cool.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Some guy was ramming him in the ass, you know, and if you're faster, go around instead of ramming me in the ass. And then we got some Snapchats in our gaggle of R-E cross ards, because you can't write retards on Snapchat anymore.
Yeah, thanks, John West.
There was a guy quite literally like a spider monkey on top of one of those Bang Bangers throwing fucking fisticuffs. They were crashed into each other in the tech pad. Big old fucking brawl right at the pit gate. Jason Ricker comes in breaking it up. Pretty good footage we got from old Dan Collins.
So I told you we drove up from Boston from go-karts, right? So we only caught the last two races, but we go in the pits afterwards. And Jason's driving the tractor out of the tech area, right? He's got to go clean the track up, get ready for Sunday, right? Big Pro All-Star Series race. And I'm talking to him. And he's like, I was like, did I miss any drama or controversy? Not even knowing that this had happened.
Yeah, he probably thinks you're just being a smart ass.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, what did I miss? Any drama or controversy? He's like, fucking, did you ever? I was like, let me guess. Bang Banger race fighting for fucking 19th. He's like,
spot on.
You nailed it, pal. You nailed it.
So if you go
apparently
back,
there was a cane involved.
Yes. I thought it was a crowbar, and Jason told me it was a cane. I was like, that's even better. That's awesome. This is the most Oxford County shit I've ever seen in my life. So if you go back to last year's Oxford 250 episode, we talked about the guy. I believe Charlie actually told the story of the guy from Michigan with his Pro 4 modified that 4 days before the race wanted to know when we could park the Pro 4s. So
I don't know, fucking Sunday?
Before I even knew anything was going on, about halfway through the event, I'm like, I bet I kind of want to just set Jason off. I think I'm going to text him and ask when I can park my 350 Super. And I didn't do it, and I told him about it Sunday morning, and he's like, that might have put me over the edge, Bobby. He said, I probably would have smashed my phone and then smashed you after. Like, yeah, well, that makes sense. They had the Cruisers, which I think one of those six-cylinder cars. I don't know. That was definitely,
I think they're like Roadrunners, but not Roadrunners.
That was when I was like, I got enough time to leave and go home and catch the limited race. So,
Is that what you did?
Yes, that's exactly what I did. And in the limited, Zach Bowie pretty much took control of that race and won that one uncontested. Old pal P. Jamero was second.
Love a piece.
Kind of reeled him in, but then couldn't, you know, wasn't going to pass him. Had almost as good of a car at the end of the race as Zach, but gave us a nice big old shout out on the microphone, and we love appreciate that.
Yeah. So. Also, shout out Rusty's old car, Tread Kyle Well there in the 44, going from like last to fifth.
85th
like
to fifth. He had a really good run, looked like he had a really good car, and Treadwell's fun to watch. And he was fun to have on the show. That that Auburn Mall show was that was
electric.
It was one of the funnier ones.
I was telling you guys, like, before we did that, I didn't know a Kyle Treadwell if he punched me in the fucking uterus, and he lit it up that whole show. So that was pretty funny to watch or be a part of.
He was also lit up.
Well, you get it. Helped, but that'll happen.
Yeah. So that was Oxford on Saturday.
Did you do any Nash driving on Saturday or just spectating?
No, just watched on the television. I went up on Friday, tested my car. Typical, just Oxford.
Did you win?
There was two of us, so maybe. I don't really know. Me and Ben Tinker went up, and a couple super late models there, a couple modified. Just went up, made some laps. We've never raced Oxford with 350 Supers, so that was all new. And then we've never raced on these Hoosier tires, so pretty much throwing the notebook.
Your favorite.
Yeah, nope. pretty much just throwing the notebook out from 7 years of racing. And so we get there on Sunday. And did anyone have any idea it was going to rain Sunday? Because I didn't.
No.
It was a pit area full of people that were shocked when we all had to put our tents out and it was 50 fucking degrees.
Yeah.
And it started raining before practice, so it delayed the start of practice. Nothing the racetrack could do there. So that just already makes for a clusterfuck of a day.
Then it's a lot of hurry up, wait, and then once it is ready, fucking go.
Yeah, and it just, it makes for a tough day. There's probably a bunch of things I could pick apart. But it's opening day. Things are clunky weather, so I don't need to bash everybody that puts these races on too bad. But so we're there, 350 Supers. I think we had 12 of us. You know, a couple guys just didn't get their shit ready. Guys missing motors, missing parts. But 12 still a solid field. You know, me and Ben were the only guys that live anywhere remotely near Oxford. The rest of those guys are all traveling 2, 3, 4 hours to come race at Oxford. So we did time trials instead of heat races, just try to save on equipment. I think I time trialed third. Jeffrey got the pole by like 9 seconds. Did a redraw. So the redraw, I ended up second. And the one thing I am going to pick apart is the initial start of the race. Because I got to pick it apart, and B, I got to defend myself because I'm getting a lot of what the fuck were you doing? And I'm going to tell you what the fuck I was doing. So the first start of the race, we got receivers where race control can talk to us. Typically with the Mayberry show, you're listening to Mayberry, but we're not. We're listening to our officials, Marshall Hurley and somebody else. I don't know the kid's name, but they're good dudes and they do a good job. So they're clearly telling us, you know, okay, guys, one to go. There's a white line in turn four. You know, nice even pace, maintain speed, launch at the line. Standard practice. It's the way we do it in the big block supers with Mayberry. It's the way the super late models always did it. And so Eddie Wickham's on the pole. I'm on the outside pole, and I am fucking three-quarter throttle just trying to pull up next to him, getting into three. And he's just fucking bah, wide open through three and four, and smokes me on the start. But I tried to stay with him. You know, I hate restart games. Like, nothing pisses me off more. You know, I've got my shit torn up so many times at Star Speedway years ago because the restarts were just so fucking bad. So I didn't want to be the guy that, like, jams on the brake and stacks the field up or whatever. So I tried to race him for it, and they call the start back. I'm like, okay, that's good, fair. You know, he went fucking 3 miles too early. And we get crossed up again, and we're all crossed up. We're coming down the backstretch, and they're telling us on the radio, all right, guys, one to green, you know, one more here. So I know we're not going green. And we come to turn four, and green flag's waving. Green lights are on.
Well, that ain't right.
And I'm like, ah! And I'm the only one. Green lights are on, green flag's waving. And I go down.
Who's the flagger? Is it Sturgis? It's
whatever the Oxford one. No, he's at Wiscasset now.
Oh, right.
The guy that normally flags Oxford Saturday nights, I don't know his name, but he's waving the green anyway. So I'm like, sweet, to the lead. Mm. And I fucking come rip roaring out of turn four, and I look across the infield, and I can see the whole field is still 2x2, just riding at 40 miles an hour. Green lights are still on, and the flag man gives me the what the fuck hands. And I'm like, no, what the fuck me? You were waving the green flag. Then the green lights are still on. And so I come back around, I pass the whole field. Now I look like an idiot because I'm the only motherfucker out here doing 100 miles an hour while the whole field's doing 45 2x2. So we ride around for another yellow lap, and I'm like, Mayberry must be loving this because nothing pisses Tom off more than restart, you know, fuckery. In fact, if we were listening to Tom, I think he'd have left it green and I'd have had a lap lead on the field, which would have been pretty rad because they, you know, we're waving the green flag. Green lights were on. So I get back in my spot and they tell us again, no, they're adamant. Take off in turn four, and we were wide open down the backstretch. And once again, I'm trying to stay with Eddie, trying to race him for it, and we were even at the line. Like, I did stay with him because I at least expected it this time. But I asked, you know, the race director, I'm like, so middle of the backstretch is what you meant by turn four? Well, you kept it even. I'm like, well, I had to.
What are you going
to
do, get run over?
Like I said earlier, I hate restart games, but what do you want me to do, just stand on the brakes? Let him go, get run over from behind, get my shit tore up, tear up somebody else's shit. We got 12 cars. You want me to wreck half of them right at the drop of the green? That'll be a good fucking look. So that was frustrating. And I didn't have that good of a car, so I, you know, needed to get a good start. Nobody was going to beat Jeffrey. It didn't matter. And so we get going anyway, and you know, Oxford, one groove, bottom was the move. So Eddie takes the lead. Jimmy Storrs gets by me. I settle in line in third. Couple laps later, Jeffrey gets by me, and we kind of do the typical super modified where everybody just goes the same exact speed other than Jeffrey, and kind of just it's Formula One racing. That's, you know, I came out of lap three and fourth, and that's probably where I was going to end up. It's just so hard to pass, and we catch some lap traffic, and it was Rich Eaton, I think we caught, and so I was reeling Jimmy Storrs in lap traffic, and about 15 to go, and I'm like, this is going to be my opportunity. You know, we're going to get by this four car. I couldn't see really any more lap cars in front of us. We probably would have caught some eventually, but it's basically now or never. I got to make a move here. And I don't really, I'm going to run the whole season with these guys, but I don't really care about points. So to me, it's like, we're getting a third place trophy or it doesn't fucking matter. You know, fourth or ninth means the same to me. It's $100 difference in pay. And Jimmy looked like he was going to work the top side over on Eaton. He tried a couple times, and Jimmy was really loose, and Richard was really loose. So I just rode the curb and didn't get in there quite far enough for Jimmy to see me, but I kind of rolled the dice thinking he was going to stay up top, and he didn't. He come down, and you know, wasn't anyone's fault. It was just a racing deal. I jumped his left rear and spun myself out. So that was pretty much the end of that. I broke a Heim joint in the left rear torsion arm when I backed over the curb. So on the restart, the thing was just a fucking handful. We finished 9th or 8th. I don't even know. Don't even care. It doesn't really matter to me. So just one of those days that wasn't really fun. Nothing about the day was fun. The day was kind of fucked up and clunky and didn't have a good car. These tires kind of suck. Probably the worst thing I did all weekend was on Friday. The last run I made when we were testing was I put American Racers back on and was like, man, this thing drives so much better. It was slower, but it drove so much better. It wasn't nowhere near as finicky. You know, with the Hoosiers, you miss your groove by like 6 inches and it's a completely different race car. You know, tight one lap, loose the next, just frustrating. And I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm whining about tires, but I'm absolutely sitting here whining about tires because I've lived this all before. You know,
I got yelled at for the same thing, so I get it.
Yeah, and it is what it is. I mean, I got two options. You either put up with it or don't race. So bitching about it does no good, but this is why we do this. We have microphones, and you can either listen to us or not, but we get to vent. So.
And anybody else who wants to do it, they're like $40 at Best Buy. Start your own show.
Yeah. So that covered that. And the day, like I said, was kind of fucked up and jerked around, so I didn't really get to see anything else. I was sitting in my car for 35 minutes waiting to time trial, and I missed the big one in heat number 2 for the super late models. Don't really know exactly what happened other than Rusty was leading, and then Rusty was doing spinnies in the middle of the racetrack, and it was a seismic fucking wreck for him, Johnny Clark, Matt Dow, Kyle Reed, Ryan Green, damn near in it.
Johnny Clark quite literally just took off the hood and walked back to the trailer.
Yeah, that thing was fucking killed.
When the right front comes off of the race car and it still has the hub, the rotor,
the spindle, the brakes, spindle, the upper, the lower, everything. The brake flow blowers.
It's a pretty hard hit. Yeah, I talked to Rusty a little bit about it, and I don't know if I'm even supposed to say anything. He didn't seem to care, but he said that he just went into one, and really nobody's fault. He said Gabe just kind of diamonded the corner a little bit, and he came back down, and Rusty was just trying to hold his groove, and they just made contact, and he lost it up off of 2 and spun out, and like you said, Johnny Clark buried it in the fucking fence. Matt Dow buried it in the fence. But if you watch the replay of that, and I was watching it live on TV, there was like 4 wrecks happening at the same time anyway. Kyle Reed was kind of fucked up a few rows back from Russell when that happened. And he already had like 3, he was 3 wide, and somebody was already under, holy shit, up underneath his ass. And by the time Johnny got there, there was just either hit Rusty or hit the wall, and he chose the wall, I guess. But
he hit Rusty too, I think. Somebody did. I don't know. Rusty's car was pretty fucked up. Yeah. But maybe he got the wall. I don't know.
But Matt Dow's car, junk.
I feel bad for Matt Dow.
Brand new car.
Very bad for Matt
Dow. Brand new car.
I feel like I watched the replay happen, and instantly I'm like, please don't let that be Matt Dow. And they zoomed in. I'm like, fuck, that's Matt Dow.
Yeah. Like, pretty looking race car.
Oh, very
cool. I guess if there's a tiny bit of 1% positive, because there's really not, the pass race did rain out inevitably, and those guys all qualified, so when they do the double header on June 9th, those guys can race. So at least, you know, they
did take the crane,
they can fix the cars and have a chance to at least race for it, whereas, you know, Matt wasn't gonna. Johnny unloaded a backup car, Rusty was gonna start in park, Kyle Reed had, you know, 5 rolls of duct tape holding the body on his car. So
Kyle Reed has a backup too. I'm pretty positive of that. But
yeah, they didn't unload it. He was actually parked right across from us. But yeah, so at least I guess if there's one positive thing about absolutely destroying your race car in a heat race was a month and a half from now, you get to bring it back and actually race. But the ACT race, they had a really good field of cars. Didn't get to see any of it.
Jesse Switzer and Goo put on a show for sure.
Yeah, and it, did they? I mean, would they make it one lap past halfway?
Something like that. Yeah,
barely.
Gabe was leading for a little bit there, and Jesse Switzer probably just put his "fuck you" pants on just to make a statement after Loudon and all the bullshit that happened there. And him and Gabe were kind of going at it.
The push to pass.
Yeah, him and Gabe were kind of going at it. I mean, it was just hard racing it. I don't think anybody really used anybody up too egregiously by any means, but Switzer was all over the back bumper of Gabe, and Gabe just kind of showed him the bottom up off a 2-1 lap, and once Switzer got around him, it was just game over. And
it appears that 25 car's pretty stout.
Yeah, they've got their shit figured out for sure. A little bit of fuckery, I guess, with Jake the Jet Johnson.
Yeah, I missed all that, but
kind of
heard he got the old fucking what's the shape of Italy.
Yeah.
The boot.
Yeah, he was just getting into scuffles with a couple two tree people. I know him and Barker were throwing haymakers at each other on the racetrack a couple two, three times, and just wasn't Jake's day. We all have days like that. We love a Jake the Jet Johnson, though.
We do, yeah. We don't condone BFP on BFP violence, but I was a little confused that he was at the ACT race and not at the Spring Sizzler. Mm. Seems like a...
Yeah, brand
new. Narducci was in the three, right?
It was a brand new.
No, there was no three.
There was no three.
I thought the 15 would have been there, but
it'd be in a tri track race. But it was a brand new car, brand new distance car. I was chatting with Reagan a little bit about it during the first rain delay of the day. So it was a little bit better than the old trusty steed he was on at Loudon. I think he's actually still trying to finish that Loudon race.
No,
it was just a typical ACT race. A lot of cars, a lot of good racing. Again, Jesse Switzer, for the amount of time that they did get to race, once he got around Gabe, it was kind of game over, like I said. But
the pass mods were there. They had a stout field, enough for three heat races. And Ryan Hewins in the 70 looked like he pretty much just dominated that one right from the get-go. Let it flag
yeah,
the flag.
Flag, yeah.
Over
the old Tommy Stilfen
machine. Dan Brown and Colby Benjamin were the top three. Shout out to my tenant, 70-year-old Tommy Oliver. Come out of retirement to race pass mods. And
70 years old?
70 years old. And not only worse than that, he got a little banged up the day before, injured, not drunk. Still powered
there
through.
There is a difference.
Still powered through and ran the race. So I know he says he runs out of things to do during his retirement days, and he likes to listen to us despite the fact that we're all idiots. So. Mm. Hopefully he listens.
Episode 270 will be injured, not drunk.
That's a specify.
Yeah, banged up. You got to specify.
Banged up, semicolon, injured, not drunk.
Yeah. So.
So that was good to see him out there. Hopefully he's going to run most of the races this year. So.
I think, did Kluchacki finish third or fourth in the ACT race? I think he's up there.
I think he was on the podium.
He was Podium Pals of the Week presented third. By Only Podiums.
Only Podium, Podium Pals presented by Only Podiums.
Very, very.
We haven't done much of that. We've been bad at that this year.
Well, no, there hasn't been much racing, which is in. I mean, I guess we definitely talked about Derek finishing second at the time, then obviously picking up the win at Loudon. But
Paige Merrill gets the first official one of 2024 because yes. He said, shout out to the Black Flag podcast.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I saw in the...
I think he said Black Flag pod.
That's fine.
Yeah,
which is what the cool kids say.
I did see the BFP sticker on his car, so I knew that he had to be on the list, as well as I was trying to figure out. I couldn't remember if Derek Kluchacki finished third or fourth.
I do really like the people that... put them on their car that we didn't give them to them. I saw a couple cars that had our logos on the car that were not sizes that we give out or styles. I'm like, oh, cool.
Hell yeah.
That means you had to tell your vinyl guy to put our logo on.
And you paid for it, and we appreciate that.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I think the first person that did that was Kyle Streeter over at Thunder Road. He just messaged me one time a couple years ago and was like, hey, can I do this? Or
Benny Bellingois?
Yeah. I couldn't remember how we fucked his name up on purpose. That's the tough part of this game. That's an easy one, too.
It really need to be fucked up. But,
well, no. You know, it's like Michael Bache, Bashy, Bache.
Petter Horzepay.
Then you find out their names and you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's not that.
And then it really fucks with you when you try to fuck it up again because you're like, wait, it's not that.
I'm more the other way where once I establish what your fucked up name is, I don't care what that is.
I have Dylan Billidoo saved in my phone.
Bibbin Dibbido?
Bibbin Dillido.
Bibbin.
See, Bibbin Dibbido is what I always know him. Yeah, or Mr. Kelsey.
So yeah, like I said, Super Late Model Race got rained out. They're going to do a double header on June 9th, which is a Sunday.
That would be 6-9, Bob.
Nice.
What a day. And shout out to the Pastor. They said if you got a wristband, keep it and you get in that next one for free. So.
Wow. Double header for half price. Let's go.
Yeah. And I mean, they got a majority of the races. And technically, the only race that got rained out was, the pass race. So,
Tom definitely doesn't have to do that. So,
good on them. And in the Supers, obviously, Jeffrey won a battle over his uncle Eddie Wickham was second. Rusty ended up third. You're welcome because you were going to finish fifth until I spun out on the restart. Jimmy Storrs lit the tires up, stacked the whole field up, and Rusty just right in front of him into the bottom, and the top three drove away. So,
Rusty's car looks a little bit sharper than last year.
Yeah, they've done a really good job with that thing.
I like a big number.
Yeah, that big they don't like that. A little bigger than they wanted, but I liked the number itself. I like the colors.
Really?
Team. Yeah.
Really? I think it looks
fun. The car owner ordered the numbers and got them and then was like, boof.
See?
But I'll give those guys credit. Joe Pagliarulo owns that car. His son Anthony used to race legend cars and race the Supers a little bit, and I've known Anthony for a while, and car was kind of a shit spreader. Had two or three different guys drive it, and Mike Nettishin won a lot of races with that car when he owned it at Lee, and he drove it, and we lapped him at Star. Brian Kruzek drove it, and we lapped him at Star. So it kind of had a bad rap. Nobody wanted it, and Rusty wanted to get into super racing, and I said, I said, message Joe. You know, he's got that car there. I said, I think it can go good. I said, the way I summed it up, I said, there's a lot of square pegs that are jammed into round holes, but I think if you fix that stuff, I think that's a good going little race car. You know, I looked it over. All the right parts are there. You know, all the important parts, you know, had all the latest up-to-date, you know, wing technology that we run on the air shocks and stuff like that. And he ran it a couple times last year, had some good runs, and him and Wayno worked on it all winter, put a body on it, cleaned it up. And
damn near won the Star Classic.
And imagine that. Joe has another car that they want to get out at some point during the year, and a bunch of people call him and want to drive for him now. Hmm. Imagine that. You know, couldn't find anybody for a half a year, but puts Rusty the charity case in it, and now everybody's knocking on the door to drive his race car, so...
Wow.
So good on those guys, but I'm going to... So we're fucking out there in practice.
My phone works, Joe, for whatever that's worth. Just give me a call.
Yeah. We're out there in one of the practices, and I guess a push truck spun out Rich Eaton.
Love that.
Oh, good. So he's sitting backwards. We haven't even... We're just idling, and he's sitting there, and they had one push truck. So they're trying to get everybody going before they rescue him. And Rusty's in front of me, and I'm just getting bored at this point. Like, you can only just swerve and ride around for so long. So I waited till just the backstretch when, like, his crew and my crew would see it, and I started running into him. And I asked him, we went to dinner last night, I was like, did you feel me running into you? He's like, no, but I was wondering why I kept gaining speed under yellow. It's like, yeah, that's because I was running into the back of you. Yeah, I think that pretty much sums up Sunday Fun Day at Oxford. Shout out to all the weather apps that didn't say rain at all week until we all got there, and then it started raining, and miraculously they all changed to a 100% chance.
Not
of rain,
even a meteorologist mentioned. No, nothing on the radio.
I didn't bring my raincoat. I didn't bring a jacket. Last time I looked, it was going to be like 65, 66 and sunny. Going to be a beautiful day. Saturday was beautiful, and then we're all cold and wet and miserable. Mm.
And it was raining.
I was the dildo walking around with my fire suit zipped up because it was the warmest article of clothing.
Tough. Yeah, that's brutal. Tough.
But I mean, I was driving a race car at least.
It's still a tough look. Yeah,
I look like a fucking
darf.
Look at me. Ooh, race car driver. No, I'm just fucking cold.
Headed to the Oxford Midway to sign autographs.
Hey, at least you never wore your fire suit and then walked all the way to the front stretch of the bar and still wore your fire suit.
Or wore my fire suit 8 races after mine was over. Nothing specific.
Nothing specific at all. How is Stafford, Brad?
Yeah, Brad. Talk about the... Sounds like your...
How's Daddy?
Your Sunday was a little bit similar.
Daddy has found the milk and cigarette aisle of the grocery store.
Just in time for us to turn 18 and he can sign off on legal guardianship.
How's new mommy?
Yeah. New mommy was not there. She was killing bad guys or whatever
she was. She was enforcing the law.
Same thing.
ironic that is her profession.
She was not killing minorities.
Well, that we're aware.
I wasn't saying minorities were bad people. I was just...
You didn't not say that.
The fact that you just said that leads me to believe you might be thinking it, though.
No, yeah,
you're seeming a little defensive there, Bradley.
I was just confusing police officers with the U.S. military. So, you know.
Well, are they minorities in their own country, though?
No, I don't think so.
I think we're the minority. You know?
Yes. Yeah. So minorities fighting back.
Majority, which makes it good, right?
That sounds like a Rage Against the Machine song.
Then killing the majority.
Wow. Yeah.
Did we just write a Rage Against the Machine song?
I think we did.
Yeah. What is AI?
Or maybe that guy that rapped with Ben Shapiro, maybe he'd rap something about that.
Ben Shapiro rapped.
Yeah, it's real bad.
it's real Ben Shapiro. It's
like, kind of incredible at the same time.
It's so right, like... It's like the most right wing shit you'll
it's
ever hear.
It's so right, it's almost left.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I think his name's Tom McDonald.
So. He just keeps going right and with
hell of a white, oh, hell of a white rapper name, Tom McDonald.
Doesn't that guy just modify
DJ Tommy listen. Mac?
Anyways, yeah. So Stafford,
Tom McDonald used to own Lee.
Same thing.
Is Massachusetts still miserable to drive through?
How about the huge fucking car crash in Wells the minute you left to what go happened? For the weekend?
So this is good, right?
Did you do that?
No.
Bradley?
Not that I know of. So I left work at 1. I was like, all right. So, and the Wells car crash was at like 11:30. So I was like, oh, maybe they get the helicopter up in the air. They fucking move.
You know,
the
it's a really bad car crash when it's on southbound and they got to stop northbound too.
Yeah.
That's a bad one. That's bad.
So no, so I'm sitting at my desk.
When are you going to stop it to land a helicopter on the other side?
Yeah, I'm sitting at my desk. I see all the Facebook alerts and everyone posting about it because it was a pretty gnarly wreck. And then my boss comes over and just goes, yeah, you know, my brother just texted me. He said it took him 2 hours to get down 95, get through Maine, basically. Like he said he was dead stop for 2 hours, which I could C being the case, I am about to leave in about 10 minutes, which is the last thing I want to hear because I'm already worried about Massachusetts. Now, when you drive to a Stafford or a Thompson, you have to just make up as much time as you possibly can from the minute you leave your house until the New Hampshire border, actually really until the Massachusetts border, because you know it's going to be a shit show. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be stuck in traffic and it's going to be stop and go. It's going to be brutal. So no, we get on the highway and, you know, I got this in the back of my head, like bad car crash 2.5-3 hours ago. Hopefully it's cleaned up. Holy fuck. I don't know. We get in or get on 95. We get maybe a mile down the road and we are dead stopped. And I'm like, you have got to be actually fucking kidding me. Like, if we are stopped right here, I will legitimately get to Stafford tomorrow. Like, it's not even going to be close.
It's a long drive with no traffic.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Friday afternoons are notoriously the worst, which is why I took an hour off of work to leave at 1 instead of 2. And I was like, it'll make it a little better, hopefully. So it wasn't the Wells accident. No, this is a fresh accident. Oh, not so even a cop there yet. Not a tow truck. Ooh, there
is. So everybody has to look.
The bodies. Oh, yeah. The bodies were still warm.
Yeah, yeah. And the car was fucking junk. So kudos to the lady for jumping out of it. She was just walking around assessing the situation.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's out of the car. Let's go. Bad wreck over in exit number 479. I don't know what exit was it.
It involved the tractor trailer truck. I know that.
He's out of the truck. Ladies and gentlemen, give him a hand. Never mind. He's not actually.
He was actually perfectly fine. He didn't even know he hit another.
He's
car.
Out of the truck, ladies and gentlemen. Give him a hand.
He's out of the truck and he's in cuffs, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, he didn't have sobriety or a license. That's tough.
So that was the start.
He's
of the
drunk,
trip.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, I'm done.
So it ended up taking.
That was kind of fun though.
Between 4.5 and 5 hours to go get the camper and get to Stafford. Should have taken three. Right. Yeah. 2.5 on a good day to get from Stafford to South Portland, Maine. But with a camper, knew it was going to take longer. 4.5 hours. Not great. But get there at 6 o'clock, park the camper. First thing I realize is, like, we pull in, right? And I've only been going to Stafford for the last 4 or 5 years. Amanda's been going her whole life. I pull in. I'm like, holy fuck. Look at the amount of campers are here. And she's like, wow, like that. If you drive into Stafford, you go back to the back parking lot, like most of the time there's 6 to 10 campers kind of like fucked up, like over in the left side in between where the bus would be, like way, basically it was just stretched from the right side all the way to the left. And it was just 2x2 campers lined everywhere. I was like, where are we even going to park? Like, we're going to have to park this thing like in the driving range, and that's going to hurt in the morning. So we pull in at 6 o'clock at Friday night and it's already packed and people keep showing up, which was sick. But I hadn't been like getting texts or like messages or anything about people like, where are you at? Which I usually do, like, oh, like come over. I'm fucking camping over here.
Get some friends, loser.
Yeah. And so we get there and we're like, oh, just sitting in the lawn chair. We're like, what do you want to do? Like, go to the Stillwater. All right. I go to the Stillwater, walk in, fucking sat down for a nice meal before getting back to the racetrack, and got to shout out to Stillwater as much as we can. They're starting breakfast soon, and for the fall final show, we will be recording probably early in the morning, very hungover, but also early enough for us to get home while the lights are still on outside. Mm. And by the lights, I mean the sun. But went there, had a couple fucking mixed drinks, and then made my way back to the campground, and I watched the whole Rangers game, which was cool. People thought I was a Rangers fan because I said there's no better place to watch the Rangers beat the Capitals. I actually didn't have any money on the game. I just knew that the Capitals were that bad, which is
just wanted to see them get swept.
I did, yeah. It's really all I wanted to see, because NHL was just like, oh, Ovechkin's back in the playoffs, and then he fucking got swept and had 0 points. So good for him. Anyways, get back to the campground. It's like 10:30, and there's a couple fires going in certain places, but there was just about nothing going on. 10:30 at night, Friday, and you know, I'm standing outside in front of my camper with just a beer, looking around. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, all right, so I'm just gonna go to bed. So I turned on the Avalanche Jets game, watched a little bit of that, and passed out.
It's very adult of
you. Yeah, it was
very adult.
I knew that Saturday was gonna get out of hand, which it did, but yeah, Friday was pretty tame. Just went to the Stillwater, which you can't beat that. Had a great time over there.
Good little spot.
Ended the night with an espresso martini and then went to bed, which is a real weird move, but it was good.
an upper before a downer.
You know, someone's got to do it. So we get back to the track, like I said. We went to bed, woke up 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and we usually just go to the Dunkin' Donuts down the road. We were like, let's go check out the Stafford Coffee Company. Why have we never done that before?
Never even heard of it.
It's right in the downtown area, and we drive past it every time.
That is a cool little strip.
Yeah.
Before you hit, like, actually take that left over that little tiny-ass bridge before you get to the racetrack. That is a fucking really nice area.
It is, and I've enjoyed driving down through there as long as I don't have a camper attached, because it's very narrow, and I feel like I'm just going to rip the whole side off of it. But anyways, so...
It's a tight little roundabout.
Yeah, I was like, why haven't we done that before? So we walk in, unbelievable spot. Great coffee, great breakfast sandwich. And Amanda was like, yeah, I don't know what we were thinking going to Dunkin' Donuts all this time.
I'd rather just not eat than eat at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts just tastes like
McDonald's.
Like
McDonald's, kind of the same.
Yeah. Foul. Yeah. Absolutely foul.
But yeah, so started the day like that. Went back to the camper. Started to dabble in the Elk Booze. Had at the time we had Blaze coming and Ryan Bordas on the entry list.
Blaze was
for,
in what?
Yeah.
Andy was going to Stafford. That's tough.
Wow.
Yeah. So waiting on them to show up. Basically, we're kind of hanging out. Most of our friends, obviously, in the racetrack. They're either practicing a car that they're racing tomorrow, or they're actually racing on Saturday. And waited around for a while. Borders was like, "Yeah, I'm leaving in about an hour," which would have put him there after the green flag for the heat. So I knew he would have been already in there. And Blaze just never showed up. And I was like, "Okay,
thoughts and prayers."
Wellness check. Needed on Blaze right now. So just kind of hung out and just felt weird having a couple beers by myself. So kind of just ended up wandering through the pits. Obviously saw a lot of friends that I haven't seen since last year at the fall final or the World Series. And yeah, then just met up with a bunch of people at the bar. Obviously everyone showed up more towards race time. So that was cool. And they had the street stocks. They had the late models. They had the limited late models. They had obviously the duels. I think that was it. But yeah, anyways, Travis Hidar went out there, dick stomped in the street stonks.
Friend of the program.
Shout out to Travis, led flag to flag. Won the street stock race over Travis Downey and Tyler Trott. Let's see. The late model race, which I guess I just must not have been paying much attention. I actually watched the highlights back today. Missed a lot of shit.
that will happen.
Yeah. So Matt Clement ended up winning over Adrian
Stafford.
Perry.
For those that have never been, Paris, turn, whatever, turns into Perry. An event pretty yes. quickly.
Yeah, yes. It does. Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse when you have a bar area and all your friends enjoy going there, because half the time you're just like either in line.
It's a nice bar. To just without having one of the nicest short tracks in the country, yeah, 8 feet from it.
Exactly.
So like you kind of just forget that there's racing going on for a second, and then you hear
very turn fivey, except
something nice. Going on the TV there. Geez.
Yeah. So Matt Clement went over Adrian Parody and Jeremy Lavoie, which was kind of interesting to read, because I thought that someone else won that race, but I also just don't really know many people in the limited late models, so I guess so. Then in the actual late models, Daryl Keene won over Wayne Corey Jr. and Kevin Gambacorta. Kevin Gambacorta was leading the race and then got hit by Paul Verrecchio and spun out in turn two. Kept the thing pointed in the right direction. Might have been the only driver all weekend to actually just spin the thing out and just keep going.
And not destroy his car.
Well, not only that, but just sit there and then start rolling the minute the green flag or the yellow flag came back out.
Just trying to get it to refire.
Yeah. A perfect timing. The only other thing that really happened in that one was Tom Butler drove over Adam Gray and stuffed them both so hard into the outside wall coming off of turn two.
Tough.
That was very tough. I think going back to last year, I think Tom Butler seems to be quite a fan favorite. Like I said, I don't know many people in the late model division. I know the Ferns, and that's... Yep. Zach Robinson, I guess, of them. That's... Glenn Reen was in the race. Mm. That's good to know now.
Yeah.
Ray.
We like a Glenn Reen.
All the
another
the
great
Rays,
interview that we had on the show.
The Rays like us. Yeah. Shout out to Glenn Reen. Good to know that he was in the race. I was cheering for you right now.
in retrospect.
Yeah. And then the dual races came out, which was
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Right.
Yeah, Hamlin. Pretty good at the duels. Won his first one ever.
Yeah. Dale Jarrett.
Eric Jones won that one with the nose tore off still. So
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a cool looking race car. I just like that.
That was cool before the nose came on.
Well, yeah.
It still won.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Teddy Hodgson.
Tedward.
Won dual race number one. Yeah. Mm. Over Matt Swanson, John McKennedy, Mike Christopher Jr., and Doug Kobe.
That was the Ska race.
That was
dual number one for the track. Yeah. Track. Oh, they split the field in half and ran 40 lappers.
Yeah, and it was 3,500 to win, I believe, for both dual races. So that was cool. Teddy locking up the pole position with the win in dual race number one. And then Ron Silk naturally won dual race number two. So two friends of the program.
Yeah. Saved my dog once.
He's been on the show.
I ran him into the wall in a pro stock at Waterford.
Why'd you do that, Bob?
I don't know, but he said, it's okay. I'd have done it to you, too.
It's very nice of him.
On this program.
Yeah.
It was very respectful of him to say.
It did happen. Marcello Raffano, Matt Zacha, Matt Hirschman, and Austin Beers rounded out the top five in dual race number two. So that's how they'll line
up. Three good drivers and one scab idiot.
Yeah, that's how they'll line up in about 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, good to take an extended intermission between heats and features.
Yeah. So after the races, got out a wild Saturday slate because we got out of the racetrack I think by 5 o'clock.
Yeah, lights were still on.
Yeah, we got back into the parking lot, and that's how you know that it's going to be a rough night.
I turned off the limited race at Oxford when that was over and flipped it over to Flo to watch Ronnie Silk taking the checkered flag, and I looked outside and said Brad is in trouble because the lights are still on.
Yeah, it has been known for us to say that rainouts are indeed bad for the
Well, no, it's not that they didn't rain out on Saturday. Just, they were just done just racing, done. And there was it wasn't even nighttime yet.
That's going to be the next year. Yeah. It's going to be the sun is still up. Is bad for the liver.
Early start times are bad for the liver.
Mm. Early release days are bad for the liver.
It's not a kid.
Is
that a sex
thing? Teacher workshop day.
Yeah. Yeah, then like kids can wear it to school.
What did they honestly do with that extra like 2 hours? Nothing.
They should have ran some of the races that are scheduled for Sunday.
No, I meant the teachers.
The actual teachers, yeah. That's a great question. We should probably brainstorm that. Because
they're probably sucking off the male teachers.
I was going to say, they were probably just having one big orgy.
Just like taking their, on the tables that we ate at?
I hope not.
Think about some of the teachers we had growing up. That sounds pretty rad. And then you think about the others and it's like, oh God.
There was a like,
but then it's with each other. I had a biology teacher with a glass eye, so that thing probably wouldn't work.
Oh, that's another orifice. That's another orifice you can stick it into.
It was actually really frustrating. It was her left eye. And she was there for so long. My brother's 11 years older than me, and she was there so long that she taught my brother and myself. And it was her left eye, right? And I had to sit to her left in the class.
Never saw you.
Never called on me. Mm. Ever. Never answered my fucking questions or anything. Mm. The fucked up part, though, was day one, nobody knows that she has a glass eye, obviously.
So right? The eye falls out and starts
bouncing. No, she literally is like, hi, my name is, Mrs. Schmuckatelli.
From the long line of Schmuckatellis.
And she's just up there and just... like pops it out and we're like, what the fuck is that?
That's so rad.
That's the most strange party trick I've
and
ever
passes
seen.
It around the room.
Mm. I don't want to touch it.
She's like, do you want to touch it? I was like, I would. That's, I want.
And then
nothing
you're gonna
less.
Put it back in.
Yeah, I want nothing less than to touch your glass.
That's how you get a bacterial infection.
Yeah, Miss. I don't know if you know how unsanitary these kids are.
But
yeah,
kids
she was
are gross.
The biology teacher.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Real tone deaf.
Sure. Later, drove a Subaru that I helped work on her car.
Oh, good. She drives, too.
Full circle moment.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah,
race with guys that have won. I think they suck at it.
Old so. Judith.
Well, but she's a... Never mind.
no shot.
How do we get on that?
I don't know. Talking about teachers having orgies during teacher workshops.
Oh, right. Because the race got let out.
I think they just like take their pants off and just sit in their underoos at their desk grading papers.
Smoking cigarettes. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck could they
just
have been
doing?
Just
secretly have, like, a place, like, a, at the time, like, a PS2. And just,
they
like,
bring
hook
a,
it up to
a
the,
charcuterie board and some wine.
Yeah. They just have a party.
It's when, like, the president of the school or whatever just buys, like, pizza to, like, help. You know what they do? Like, corporate
it's a pizza
America.
Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how about happy a raise? People are like,
how about a
can we just
pizza?
Can we just get the crayons we had to buy for everybody, like, purchase for us?
Yeah, can I just
so
get
cool.
reimbursed?
Can we make more than $12,000 a year?
Yeah. No, it's not that. No. Certainly can't be that.
So, yeah, anyways, we get out super early on Saturday and kind of just potted around for a little bit until the band. They had Bulletproof there as everyone, well, Bob might not have made it.
I still haven't green bust yet.
I was going to say, I know Charlie's green bust. Bulletproof puts on a fucking hell of a show. Mm. Typically, the way it's all laid out for anyone that's never been there before, there is a green bus with a stage. And then they're over to the right.
It's not some sort of code. It is quite literally a bus that is green.
The name speaks for itself.
It does.
I've seen it at Thompson when I was younger, but I was not allowed to go play with those people because I was 14. So
that makes sense. It's also not like a school bus. It's like a rock star, like party bus, like one of those giant fucking, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
a tour bus. Wait,
tour bus, yeah.
So yeah, they obviously had the stage set up, and then they got like usually a big fire going on at the back of the party, and then there's a little hut that sells and serves drinks for tips. And so we got over there pretty early, and we had a perfect group of individuals, all of our friends and people that you'd want to kind of be hanging out with all just in one spot. We all just migrated to the front of the stage, and we had a damn good time. Austin Beers was in attendance, was not drinking, even though he legally can now, as per daddy's
per United States government law,
per Joe Biden,
federal
Austin Beers can indulge in a beer now,
per new mommy.
Chose not to because he had shit to do the next day.
Yeah, he had to not race the next day.
Yeah, well, yeah, actually, yeah. Now that I think about it, maybe he should have just.
my dad always used to not drink the night before his races, and he was DD'ing my mom and some friends at a benefit one night, and it was calling for 100% chance of rain. So he's like, fuck it. And then at about 5 a.m, pit crew's knocking on the door asking, when are we going racing? Sun's out, never rained a drop.
Ooh,
Dad said that was the longest race of his life.
Yeah. So the weather forecast going into the weekend for Stafford called for a little bit of rain Saturday night into Sunday morning. It was going to be out by 8 a.m. So naturally, band starts sprinkling. They cover up all their equipment, and they're like, we'll be back with you once the weather stops. And we're like, fuck, like now even Mother Nature's taking our goddamn concerts away. And
what a cunt.
Yeah. And then
she's been kind of a cunt lately.
Eventually they did just kind of pull the fucking covers off. It wasn't pouring by any means, but it was still sprinkling, and they were just like, we're just gonna play. Which was
you
cool.
You just gotta own it, just got like tarps off and just fucking
yeah.
I feel like they don't want to ruin their equipment.
No, it
can't be that expensive.
So this goes into one of Austin Beers' questions here. That's why I mentioned his name earlier. He said, Brad, did you ever get that high five from dude buddy having fun with his lady friend at the Green Bus Saturday night? So we all have all of our friends kind of, like I said, right in front of the stage, congregated to the left side of the front row of the stage, kind of all in just a big cluster of
stage left or crowd left.
Crowd left. Mm. So, and there was a legit, like, there's probably like 20 people that we would all want to hang out with just all in one area, which was great. And then you just look over to the right in on crowd right, stage left, crowd right. There is just
is that the bow or the stern of the bus?
Now we're getting way too deep. I missed that teacher workshop day.
Is it the port or the, what is it?
Starboard.
Starburst.
Yes. It gets stuck in your teeth.
It was the starburst.
I always remember because my dad taught me port is left, and because they're both four letters.
Thank you.
Yes.
For that.
Wow. You're welcome. Right. Yeah.
Teacher workshop day. So all of our friends, also like I said, are over on crowd left, and to the right, crowd right, right in front of the stage, there is just a big group of nobody. And then a softcore porn happening.
Fuck yeah.
Right up against the stage.
Like fingers or?
Like I'm telling you, like lady in front, dude just pressed right against her buttocks.
Pants on?
Yeah, but the fingers were getting frisky
on both of them. So it was over the pants, but a little bit in the pants?
Yeah, but
the
like, fingies? But like I think
under the pants, over the underoos.
She was the shield because there was going to be a little stain on the front of his drawers had he pulled away.
Was he wearing sweatpants?
Discharge.
I don't know what he was wearing because I
believe that's called pre-cum.
Well,
I feel like I already know the answer, but were these attractive people?
Hmm.
It's almost never.
Is it ever?
It's never.
No, I don't want to be
rude. Because if it is, they do that stuff in front of a camera and get paid for it.
Mm. Well, so there.
Was there a camera?
No, that's what I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I didn't squint to see the red flashing lights.
Are you like in the background of a Pornhub video now?
Yeah, on purpose. So we're all like hanging out, like I said, where we were. And you just look to your right, and these people are just going at it. To like fucking Nickelback, Burn It to the Ground or something, which honestly that kind of turned me on. That so then sense, I was yes. like, you know, I'm gonna go
get involved.
Yes. I was like, I'm gonna
so
go
you guys
be
need a third.
I was like, I'm gonna go be a part of what is happening. And these people are so locked in their softcore porn that I am like, no joke. Now that I think about it, I kind of got scary as when I read Austin's comment because I kind of forgot about that. And then I was like, oh my god, I was legitimately like 6 inches away from these people. just dancing in the background of their porn. It was very fucking close. And like, I
tap me in.
I would have punched myself in the face had I had been doing that. But anyways, I wouldn't have been doing that. it was a very confusing little situation that was going on that just kept going on. I mean, good for that guy.
Are they still going?
They might still be there.
The
stage is gone. The bus is gone. But they're just still. She has her hands out like there is a stage she can hold on to.
It's just an empty parking lot, and all you just hear is.
Well,
nothing else.
I hope that they've gotten to the point of taking their clothing off because they were just going at it with clothes on for a very long time.
It's a lot of chafing.
And so I didn't get my high five. I guess I was asking for a high five multiple times. Yeah, that's
an Eiffel Tower.
So, that was Saturday night at the bus. That was fun. Bulletproof rocked it.
It was a bang bus, if you will.
Yeah, it was.
They did.
Yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, they. I hope that they had a safe place to go do that because
that wasn't.
Were they being safe about it though?
They were both wearing. If he was inside of her, he was wearing shorts, so it was very safe. Actually, that's not no.
I don't think that is.
That would really hurt. I've never had a vagina, but that would really
hurt. You haven't bowling balled, though.
President said it was okay.
Allegedly.
So they were having
the last one, not this one.
So after those people got done with their teacher workshop, they canceled the rest of the concert. They Bulletproof, shout out to them for playing through the rain. I don't know that they necessarily wanted to be doing that, but they did. So enjoyed the rest of the show. I don't think I Irish goodbye, but Daniel Eugene made it seem like I did the next day. He was just like, yeah, you just had it. Like after the concert was over, you were like, I am just going home like to my camper. So I just, I guess, V-lined to the camper, started a fire, took way too long. Cause I don't know if you remember what I was saying earlier, but it was raining the whole time. So we used multiple rolls of paper towels to get it going. Finally did, just to sit out there for about a half hour.
You were gonna say to dry it off.
Yeah, we had to dry the fire off. Let's get it going.
So we sat over there for like a nice 30 minutes before Ryan Borges pulled out a Zin can and was like, would you like one?
Time to blow a motor.
And I said, yeah, I'd absolutely like one of those right now. He throws me the can. I put one in. Now we're about 10 minutes in and I'm like, wow, I feel surprisingly well for someone who doesn't usually handle 6 milligram Zins well. Usually I get the spins in usually less than 30 seconds and then I have to blow a motor immediately. So we're on like nothing crazy, but like 3 minutes and I'm like, wow, look at me. Look at the stamina that I've built up with the threes.
It'll run for a long time without oil.
And then all of a sudden, in the middle of a conversation,
I just almost broke our new rule there when I heard all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
No, no, we can't do that.
No, do not do that.
No, sorry, that was a little joke for us. Yeah. We have a new rule in this program, and
Yeah. Almost broke it.
Yeah. So immediately, 3 minutes in, when the timer hit, did have to go blow the motor. And to which I woke up the next morning, which was awesome. I blew the motor next to my camper on like the right side, which is kind of where my head goes in the bed. Anyways, this lady comes over and goes, she wasn't talking to me by any means. I was supposed to be asleep. It was literally 6:30 in the morning. These people are hooking up and leaving. I guess they must have seen the weather forecast. Makes sense. But the lady just walks by and like the window is half open and she just goes, ha, someone had a good night over there. There's puke all next to that camper. And it woke me up 6:30 in the morning, and I was awake for the rest of the day.
So that was
tough.
Me and Brad were talking business because I forgot to get the Instagram login after Saddam Hussein hacked it from us. So I texted Brad. I said, I don't have the IG login, but I just put up a story about stickers if you want to share it to that for me. And I said, how are we holding up down there? Motor still intact? And he says, that's a Texas size no. Biohazard reported in front of the camper.
Yeah, I was in such rough shape that the next morning we had to go back to the Stafford Coffee Company, obviously, because it's a great spot right down the road. And I was in line, and I was like, can I get just a large hazelnut cold brew? He's like, yep.
Can I just get a large loaf of toast?
Did you guys sell livers?
Can I just have anything that isn't that?
So I was like, yeah, can I get whatever? And she was like, do you want room for cream? And like in my head, I responded to her. I was like, And then she was like, do you want room for cream, sir? And I was like, room for cream? I was like, oh, sorry. No. And then I like walked away and was just like, oh my God, she just asked me three times and I forgot to say words the first two.
Like a fever dream.
I was just like, dude, so tired and like floating. I was like, oh, this is not good. And I just progressively felt worse until I started drinking again. Imagine that. Mm. But yeah, throughout Sunday, late Saturday and Sunday, there was a staggering amount of people, more people than I've ever had at a racetrack, especially just one single event, come up to me and say that they were friends of the show, or, you know, probably. whether I met new people or it was people that I had met once or twice before and don't really know their names. Anyways, like people would just stop me and like half the time I wasn't even wearing BFP merch, which was cool. Mm. so that was
it's a little tough to have our faces recognized when we're an audio program.
Right. Well, it was in it. It didn't catch me off guard by any means, but the amount of people that did stop me and say, like, there was some, in some of the way that they phrase it, some people are like, you know, I really got to tell you something.
Oh, boy.
Ah, oh, fuck.
And when you hear that, right, like, I'm already, like...
I'm not on the show.
Yeah. Like,
now,
I'm in...
Now I've been trying.
Yeah, how's the other guy?
Yeah. I'm in, like, a state of life right now where I'm trying to nurse myself back to health. Like, if you're going to hit me with a car, just do it, like, right now. Because, like, I already don't feel good at all. And then they start with that and you're like, oh God, they hate me. Just God.
This is exactly what I need. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not going to help my day. And then they're like, you guys make my day every single Tuesday. And I'm like, yes, dude, come on. Thank God. That's a positive one. Cause that always gets you. And you're like, ooh, this is scary.
We do have the, you know, stragglers of negatives too, but you know, we fuck them.
Yeah. It's all in good fun. And I don't think there's nothing malicious about what we do.
Harmless fun, I believe, is what the kids call it.
Very, very few drivers.
Well, until they do it dumb, and then we say, yeah, you did it dumb. But yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
We're not nearly as fucking aggressive about that shit as we used to be, though.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, we used to not pull back. Some of the early episodes was like,
fuck this guy, fuck his mother, fuck his dog, fuck the trash can.
I had one driver legitimately call me after one of our episodes, and I was like, oh, listen, man. Like, did you spin out Derek Griffith and DJ Shaw on championship day?
Well, yeah.
I'm like, case closed, my man. We're three drunks talking on a microphone. Like,
nothing specific though, right, Bob?
It's 21. I gotta go to work, man. I have a day job. Like, yeah. I can't argue with you about this.
It is really
people. Just some people are soft.
Well, it's the waking up the next morning and like you. I feel like self realizing like, I shouldn't have done that, and then just us. We record on Mondays always. Mm. So it's like, we're going to bring it back up and you're not going
to. I will say having the 24 hours to just
has helped.
Yeah. Cause I was pretty fired up yesterday. Yeah. I don't drink nearly as much as I used to, trying really hard to cut back. So when I do drink, it takes me two beers instead of five to get to the point where I start getting a little mouthy. And so yesterday I was leaving the racetrack and I'm texting different people about the day and going back and forth. And, you know, we have friends. Oh, you know, what's no, the show and all that. And I was like, oh, don't worry, I got some shit to say. And then I woke up and I was like, yeah,
I think
probably don't need to just burn everybody down.
Like, I think that's the exact reason why you can't get a gun like right now. You have to wait.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense now. Right.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't going to shoot anybody.
That's why you didn't buy a gun.
I just was going to talk about how I had to sit in my car for 35 minutes to go before I time trialed.
Well, to be fair, everybody else had to wait 35 minutes for the race to start. So it's,
that's true.
It is what it is, right? But yeah.
Yeah, so this Sunday, like I said, woke up egregiously too early, went to the coffee shop, made a fool out of myself, slowly started to nurse my way back to health.
You'll never see that girl again.
And, so. Yeah, that's true. Just obviously went back. It was such a beautiful day. Just not a fucking cloud in the sky. It was like
great day for a tour-type modified race.
Yeah, yeah, one would say. Or or thousands think. Of people would think and say.
NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour Facebook group.
It was 70 to, like, 75 degrees and just not a cloud. It was so nice. Tarps off for a little while, playing cornhole, just me and Jizz. And
Ryan Borges?
Yep, and Ryan Borges. And we were just kind of buzzing around, ended up going to a couple different groups of people and saying hello, and then Daddy showed up with a carload full of clothing, which I bought a whole new entire wardrobe out of, which was cool. Obviously we were hanging out, kind of like loosely picking up the camper as well. I legitimately like did the stabilizers in the front and then just like stood back and like cracked a beer and just standing there watching.
Took a break.
Yeah. Took a break for like 15 minutes and then was just like, all right, yeah.
I'll go do the left rear.
So I was just like piecing everything together. And for a minute,
last time we did that, Lindsay and I, we just left it hooked up to the truck. That's good.
Yeah,
good enough.
Yeah, didn't even level it.
I would have.
Why'd we both fall out of bed?
Well, we're on a
13-degree incline.
No, we parked at a pretty flat spot, and I was like, it's fine.
Yeah, so I mean, loosely, I was picking everything up. Amanda wanted to get everything cleaned up. It was a whole family affair. Her whole family was going to be at the racetrack together for the first time in a while. So I was like, all right, I got to put a shirt on. Let me know when they're... let me know when they get off the highway, and I'll put a shirt on. Put myself together, if you will. And so, you couldn't get too tuned up. Had a 3-hour drive home with a camper, and then add an extra hour to drop it off. Yeah. Again. So had, I only, and which was perfect because
two
I only
adult
had
moments in the course of 3 days.
I only had 2 beers even in the camper to begin with. So had those ones. And then, at $7 a whack, I'm not gonna be able to get drunk in the bar. So, I was just kind of loosely getting into the day. Decided to go watch the heat races and then go back out at the they had a pit party that was an hour in between in the middle of the day. I don't know if anyone saw about that on Facebook, but everyone's really excited about it. So 3 o'clock hits, pit party is gonna start. I was like, now's my time to shine. Go hook up the camper, ended up obviously hooking it up pretty quickly and just moseyed back in about 20 minutes later and kind of wandered around and just saw any friends that I might not have seen. I got a apologize again to Matt Brewer, friend of the program, 51 SK Light. He apparently I saw him on Saturday at some point. There's a couple people that have been like, yeah, so when I talked to you yesterday, I was just like, huh.
Could have.
Yeah. Very well cool. Might have. So I woke up on Sunday morning and Matt Brewer had sent me a Snapchat. And I was like, all right, what is this? Like, I had 20 fucking Snapchats, like, of just... Because when I go on these race trips, I just forget that I have a phone
We get to drinking and partying, and the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I ignored a lot of people.
Yeah, like, there was, like, legitimate people that messaged me, like, Friday afternoon on my drive down that I still had... Like, Brian Hahn, I'm pretty sure I, like, responded to, like, this morning or something. Like, there was numerous people that I did not respond to until this morning because, like, it would say that I had, like, 6 notifications and I would just keep scrolling.
Swipe
like,
them out
of
the way.
Fuck? Like, where are these things? Oh, yeah, Thursday at fucking 6. Here comes Randy Pratt. Fucking A. Sorry, Randy. Matt had snapped me, and obviously I knew it was racing that day, so I was like, well, let's see what this is. Maybe it's a t-shirt request, a hat request. It was just a picture of a Luke Baldwin shirt just folded up on a chair. And I'm like, well, that seems kind of unnecessary. Like, whatever. Just
sick,
didn't think anything of it. So then I messaged Luke and I'm like, hey, do you have any large t-shirts? I want to buy one.
I gave it to him.
Well, no, he's like, yeah, I got you. I was like, all right, cool. I'll come find you at the pit party. So I'm walking up to the car, and shout out to Jack Baldwin.
No, fuck him.
He was
blowing my shit up for a hat, and I'm finally like, dude, I'm in Maine. Oh, what the fuck? I was like, well, stupid, if you actually listen to our show, you'd know I'm racing cars in Maine this weekend. Oh, word, right.
Yeah, they were both the Baldwin boys were part of the fun on Saturday night, and Tommy showed up to, I think, make sure that they were still behaving, and was ended he? Up in the middle of say, the
because he was in the middle of the mosh pit. From what I saw,
he wasn't drinking, didn't have a drink in his hand, but he just walked over and I saw him talking to them, and then all of a sudden he is just dancing in the middle of the party, just having the time of his life, and I was like, this is just the content that you need to have.
Wholesome.
This was very wholesome, and I walk over to the cars in the middle of the pit party, and Jack's like, hey, you might want to go check with Matt Brewer. I think he has a shirt for you, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, where's Luke? I want to buy one of his. And he's like, no, I he's like, I think he has a Luke shirt for you. I was like, oh, okay. So I walk over to Matt and I'm just like, you have a Luke Baldwin shirt for me? And he looks at me and he's just like, yeah, do you have my shirt? And I was like, maybe.
Like, I don't know.
I was like, what shirt? And he's just like, XL or large, whatever he said. I was just like, I think so. And I was just like, wait, but you have a Luke Baldwin shirt for me? He's like, yeah, we talked about this yesterday. And I was like, no, we did for sure. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, here's an XL. Yeah. He comes over with a Luke shirt, and I didn't even check the size. I was like, did he just give me an XL? Like, I'm so confused as to what's happening. And then he stood there for just long enough that most of his family bought more merchandise, which was cool. Then I fucked off politely, but it was one of those moments where I was like, wow,
Wow.
I don't remember that conversation at all. And I don't know how we got to that point. I don't know how he ended up. Did he get given a wrong size? Maybe.
I don't know,
did
man.
He buy it?
This was a youth.
This is still something that's
those
in the air.
Give me the most scaries.
Yeah.
When you just have a point in time that just when doesn't
you,
exist.
Yes. When you were the main character of a story that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Imagine 100%. Being me about the wheelchair.
That was
pretty rad.
That was something.
Could have been.
Yeah,
very well.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
If you did remember, you'd be mad at me. I folded your shit up twice.
I vaguely remember bouncing off the middle of A1A for 5 seconds.
It was a side street. We got you off the main drag.
But yeah, so that was at the pit party. Obviously, acquired a Luke Baldwin shirt through a third party. I don't know.
Good.
For future considerations.
Something else we can both accidentally wear at the same time.
I don't know how Luke got compensated, but thank you, I think. I don't. Maybe.
Or you're welcome.
Welcome. I have no idea what's happening. I just work here. But yeah, anyways, just mosey under the races, kind of laid low for the day. Obviously, they, like I said, they had the heat races first, then they wheeled out the SKs, and it's still sunny, bright sunny, still applying sunscreen. It's fucking hot as fuck. And the SK feature comes out, and you know, Junior won his heat race, and he looked like he had a pretty sporty car. Him and Marcello seemed like they were really good. A
couple of friends.
And Troy Talman was as well.
Another friend.
And I think Stephen Chapman won his heat race. But
another friend.
Yeah. All
are there any that we're just not friends with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know exactly who off the top of my head, but I can assure you that there has to be some.
Mm. There's a couple of them have been butt of jokes, spinning out at opportune times that we may have almost predicted.
Yeah.
Nothing specific.
Yeah, no, nothing specific at all. But anyways,
essentially a former guest of the show.
They
not that one.
Oh, not that one.
They roll out.
You
the,
know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. they roll out the race, right? And Mikey, like I said, was starting up front there, and I was like, I picked him in the race pool. I was like, he's probably gonna do pretty good here. At least if he does, if I want him to win, so I want to just cheer for him. So I know I have money on the line, and let's go, let's do it. So it was really, I mean, Marcello ended up coming up. It was him, Stephen Chapman, Troy Talman, and Marcello were pretty much the class of the field. Andrew Moeller was fast for a little while there. I think he ended up finishing fifth. But there was so many restarts because there was just so many people in the back of the pack that were wrecking or spinning 30, out.
31 cars, I think, took the green.
Yeah, 31 or 32. And there was a bunch of just self-spins that would just come to a complete stop. Or not self-spins, but spins that would just come to a complete stop and just sit there and just wait until the yellow came out. And the minute the yellow came out, start rolling. So we're on, like, it had to have been restart number 5 or 6 now. And Mikey's starting on the outside. He's starting second. And Marcello's on the inside. And everyone is kind of just like annoyed with how many yellows just keep happening. So they roll down into turn one, lights flash on. And like I said, I had Mikey in the pool. Well, it was very noticeable that if you're starting second, you're going to be at least third coming off of turn two because the top wasn't really rolling. And I'm like, man, like Mikey just got to get down. Well, they came by us. We're sitting right past our finish line, side by side. Yellow lights flip on. All right. I'm waiting to see if Mikey can roll through the corner, and the yellow comes on. I'm looking around. I'm like, where the fuck's the yellow? Like, everyone just stands up. A bunch of people standing up, throwing their hands up. Like, what the fuck? What's the yellow for now? And then all of a sudden, you just see the 82 start rolling slowly in front of you down the front stretch. Got sent to the back. And now even more people are standing up just like, so what the fuck was that for?
I am confusion.
Yeah, what happened there? They sent him to the back for jumping the start. They could not have been more side by side coming past us. And Marcello, I think, had
you mean
the
they didn't,
advantage.
They didn't warn him and then botch the next start and then let him do the exact same thing over again?
I mean, if he jumped a
nothing
start
specific,
earlier, if he jumped a start earlier in the race,
maybe that's our next shirt. Just nothing specific.
Maybe he jumped a start. Maybe jumped a start early in the race, but for most of the starts after the beginning of the race, he was either third or fourth or fifth.
Hard to jump.
So it's very hard to jump the start and have it be not noticeable when he's three wide going like in the grass. So everyone was like, what the fuck's going on? And from the people that I've talked to, no one really knows what was going on. I mean,
the script didn't have him winning the race.
Apparently. That's if nothing tough. Else, the one that he got penalized
I'm assuming
for.
Tapley had nothing to do with that.
He doesn't work at Stafford anymore.
Yeah.
He was at Oxford.
Yeah.
If nothing,
I really hope he saw the start of the 350 Super race. And that's all I want to know his thoughts. Yeah.
If nothing else, the start that he ended up getting penalized for, he did not jump to start. So I don't know what that was about. That was just fucking annoying. And then you had a really good race between Marcello and Troy Talman, and Marcello led most of the race, got all the way down to the last lap, and you could just see Troy dime in the corner, went a little high through one and two to get the run down the backstretch. Marcello tried to block as much as he could to the point where Troy just ran right into the back of him coming into turn three.
You run the hank, you pay the price.
Yeah, moved him up ever so slightly and just dove to the bottom and ended up taking the win, picking up his first SK Modified win at Stafford. Which was it was an exciting finish for the fans. That was the one race we got to see, so cool. Really had to soak that one in.
Good day. Good day racing.
And then everyone just packed up and went home. So
they did start the light race,
they
right?
did, yeah. They went eight laps, and most of them were under yellow because they kept wrecking.
Yeah, I tuned in. That makes sense. I tuned in for a little bit. I did see Carsten Cole back it into the front stretch wall pretty good there, and then then that was the end of that.
Yep. It started to lightly sprinkle, and so this is in the middle of the SK race, like it was fucking sunny and there was like a cloud coming, but then you could see it was light for a little further back and you're like, okay, like maybe we get hit with a stray shower, but like no one is talking about rain. Borges pulls out his weather app, he's looking, it looks like there's a stray shower coming through. We're like, all right. Mitchie Bags pulls out a weather app like 10 minutes later and it is just, it is not gonna stop raining until Tuesday, like holy fuck. And so we're sitting there watching like the clouds rolling and it went from like cloud and then light again to just complete cloud cover, and it just started sprinkling, and then they eventually lost the track. So it ended up being, if you lived somewhere nearby and you didn't have to haul a camper all the way to Maine, like it ended up being half cool for certain people because a lot of people just went to the bar and were just standing there. Like it wasn't raining to the point where you couldn't be outside anymore, so people just were buying beers and standing around like it was a bar shooting the shit. Well, it is a bar, obviously, but shooting the shit with friends that they probably hadn't seen throughout the day. And then even more people were just going back out to their campers because some people were staying the night, or, you know, they were waiting to see what was going to happen. Obviously, the competitors were all kind of just out of the loop standing there. And we gave it about an hour, hour and a half. And then we were like, yeah, let's pull the plug. Like, I'm not waiting. I only gave it an hour and a half to just beat the traffic because the minute it started raining, I was like, I'm not waiting because it's already a 6 o'clock start, which is way too late for myself having to drive 3 hours back to where I live and then an hour or half hour to drop a trail out. It was going to be a lot. So we pulled the plug really early, went over and said bye to a couple people. And then when I got to my actual camper, we were going to drive to these people, and Amanda and her brother Christopher were there. And, you know, they're both sitting in the camper. I'm like, well, I'm going to drive over there. Do you want to just stay in the camper? Amanda says no. Christopher says yes. I'll just ride in the camper. Okay. Shut the door. Didn't think anything of it.
Drove all the way to Maine and forgot about it.
Oh, fuck.
He's still in there right now.
Can you have your parents go bring him some food and water, please? So we get all the way over there. He opens the door, steps out as one would after being in a camper. They closed the door. Well, I'd given the keys to Amanda. I don't know how the door opened, but he opened the door from the inside, shut the door. The outside of the camper was still locked. Sick. So now we can't get into the camper. It's raining. I want to go home. We're like, what the fuck? Like, what are we going to do here? So now every window in my camper other than the emergency exit, which I've never opened before.
I don't think you can open that from the outside either.
Is like 6 inches big. And so we're standing there like hanging out, and Christopher turns around, and Johnny Walker, the 01 Street Stock driver, was standing
not
there.
Not the Alcaboos.
No, just standing there like holding the trailer or whatever. And Christopher goes, you have like a metal rod? And he's like, yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, I do. Grabs a metal rod. And so I'm standing at the front of the camper still trying to fuck with like the window to see if the keys are even in there. Because if they're not, like they're probably just stuffed in the truck, and it would have been a lot easier just to grab the keys. So I watched Christopher put the fucking metal rod in one side of the small window and start picking up the emergency exit latches, which he ended up doing. And he's small enough to climb right into the camper. So he did. Ended up being like a 10-15 minute ordeal. Ended up getting out of there. I honestly thought that we were going to end up having to sleep in the actual truck because the stairs were down of the camper. So we were fucked if we didn't get the door open.
They would have just bumped the road a couple times. It'd have been fine.
It is what it is.
They make new ones. Your buddy owns a fab shop. He could have straightened them out.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So that was the first time I actually ever met Johnny Walker. It was cool. That's my new favorite street stock driver, not named Travis Hyder.
Stepbrothers? You don't know anyone named Johnny Hopkins.
I don't know if anyone noticed, but I did say shout out to Johnny Walker for saving the day with his big rod on Facebook, and he responded and he said, "My rod is clutch for getting into tight spaces."
Ew.
One of us. But yeah, so got to see 8 laps of an SK light race, got to see an SK modified race, and got to meet Johnny Walker. That was my Sunday. Ended up raining, moved to the 10th, which is going to be with a Friday night show. And like Oxford, they are honoring all the passes, tickets, wristbands for that night, which they usually don't after heat races roll, and they literally got everything but the actual Sizzler started. So everyone's still mad, which is fine, because I was already on the way home. Especially John West. I'm glad John West is mad.
That doesn't take much, though.
They
tried to fight with him this morning. He wasn't having it.
They tried to drive the track for 5 hours, made a lot of people angry. I don't know what else you want them to do. Yeah, it's not easier for them to come back.
It's a no-win position. I mean, the same with Pash yesterday. I mean, just what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Just, you can't fight the weather.
Right.
It is what it is, and it sucks. I mean, the track owners don't have fun. The officials don't have fun. The drivers, crews, fans, like, it's not good for anybody. But
it's also
taking to the Facebook, that never helps. No.
It's also not financially beneficial for the racetrack to do that either. So I don't know. Just shut up.
So you going back or no?
No.
No. We have a race at Barlow.
Yeah, that'd be a very expensive.
What's the first one? May 10th?
Yeah. So 10th, won't even be able to watch it on TV. We'll watch the replay the next day.
Also, notice today, scrolling through the old Bartlett website, every race pretty much needs a sponsor. So
yeah, so basically a sponsor is you're just covering the cost of the trophies.
Yeah, it's a couple $100.
Yeah, it's not much, and you can do whatever you want. You can pay them, and you basically go to Steve Perry and order the trophies yourself. So if you want to buy little dinky trophies because you're a cheap fuck, do that. If you want to buy 10-footers, you do that. I mean, I know some guys are having flags made this year. There's a lot of cool things going on at Bartlett. That starts 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yep. Wiscasset got their races in on Saturday night, opening night for Group 2, the only group that gets to race without weather delays at Wiscasset. They had the modifieds were won by Adam Chadbourne, Chuck Colby, and Brian Treadwell, the top three. Our youngest guest in BFP history made his modified debut, Reed Reno finishing fourth. A whole pile of fucking street stonks. Josh St. Clair picked up the win over Dan McKegg Jr. and Scott Eck, and Josh turned it around and ran at Oxford on Sunday. What else we have
Dan
here?
Dan McKegg with a couple of runner-up finishes there.
Yeah, second.
Group 1 and Group 2.
Yep, second in the super late model, second in the street stocks. They had the Road Runners, was won by Kyle Enman over Alec Brown and Noah McGrath. And the late models were healthy in car count as well. 3 heat races for them. Frank Moulton picked up the win over Shane Clark and Brett Osmond. So that's both opening days in the books for our pals up at the coast at Wiscasset. I think that pretty much covers Star Speedway. They had the Bunny Brawl this weekend. I think Joey the Jet Ventrilo picked up the win in the Street Stonk race. Jenna the Jet Bullier won the Mad Bomber race, but Billy Eastman posted a picture of the trophy and the checker flag later on, so I'm going to guess that one got taken away in the tech shed.
Yeah. Also, just to add to the little bit of weekly news that we have here, some housekeeping. A date that you're going to want to save for sure, July 28th, 10 a.m.
The official funeral of Beatrice.
Yeah.
That's not what they're calling it, but that's what I told my dad it was.
Basically. The gates of Beatrice Motor Speedway will open for at least one more time. Dan Walker has, in cahoots with a couple other folks, reached out to the current owners of the property that was once known as Beatrice Motor Speedway. They're going to open the gates up one more time.
And let us destroy the place.
And have a car show.
Oh. Don't vandalize.
So again, 10 a.m., July 28th. I just had it up. Again, it's going to be a car show. Pretty cool. Any volunteers that want to help out, obviously there's going to be some cleanup that needs to be done. A lot of maintenance in terms of like lawn care, things like that. Just simple stuff just to make it half-assed presentable to get some cars back on the track there. Activities are going to include a car show, like I said, with modern race cars, vintage race cars like Bobby's favorite, and some oval track go-karts as well too. Historic grounds of Beatrice Motor Speedway are going to be open once again. Meet former track champions and competitors. Meet Main Motorsports Hall of Famers, members, and tour of the Main Vintage Race Car Association Mobile Museum. Food trucks will also be on the premises with free parking for spectators. I think we've also talked about it a little bit, about potentially being there and having maybe some hero cards of us idiots and sign for the eights of fans that we have.
Yeah, so. And we've been talking about getting some sort of setup with like speakers so that we can do an actual live show
at the funeral.
And probably make our first one be at the funeral and try to get some of those former track champions and guests just to
For whatever it's worth, I guess the new owners, this is the second or third set of owners since the original sale of the racetrack. These are by far been the best and easiest ones to talk to, most receptive in terms of doing anything such as this. Also, all these people keep buying this to turn into some sort of development, truck stop, whatever. And just simple Google search would tell you that you can't get water to that property. Anything in Scarborough on that side of the turnpike, this is on a well. So if you're trying to put a huge building in there, it's just not going to work. So that's a big reason as to why that hasn't happened yet. So the new owners, again, very receptive, very open to hearing people out and doing such things like this. So pretty cool to hear that. Chase will be able to go to Beach Ridge at least once in his life, which is pretty cool. So
that is cool. Yeah. Need to be tons of pictures, tons of videos. And like you said, we'll do a live show, do some content there. Looking forward to that. Before we get into the Patreon questions, this episode is brought to you by Mike Holmes and Son Excavating. Services include septic installation, septic repair, complete house lots, additions, yard expansion, drainage, gravel, driveways, trucking, and more. So if you're looking for an awesome crew to complete your project this spring or summer, you know who to call. 603-235-7233. Again, that is Mike Holmes and Son Excavating, longtime supporter, and we can't thank them enough. And I was told to just go, Woody. Legitimately, yeah, Woody, I asked Woody, I was like, what can you give me an ad read? And he said, let me ask. Asked Mike, said, is there anything specific you want BFP to say when you talk about you? Or when they talk about you? He said, Woody, LOL. So.
Woody, LOL.
There it is. Perfect.
Patreon questions. Starting from the top, Petter Horzepe.
On the poll.
Is that the first one you guys got?
Petter Horzepe?
Yeah.
So he had a good time in Dover, he says. Had the pleasure of meeting fellow Patreon pal Dakota DeCourcy, which was cool. Yeah, I had two people from Dover say, yeah, I've seen one of your sweatshirts there.
Fuck yeah.
And it was Dakota. Also got a ton of people asking me about BFP when they saw my shirts. Interest in the show is definitely growing, which is amazing. Even got our asses whipped in go-karts by Stephen Malozzi, which was pretty cool, even though losing sucks. Who is each of your favorite National Touring Series driver to lose to in go-karts? Recency bias has Gio Ruggiero at the top of that board because he
Noah Gregson's just an all-time. Because you get off the track and you're like, man, I feel pretty good about what I just did. Mm. And then you look at the scoreboard and he was like 2.5 seconds faster than you. And you're like, how is that even possible?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Where do you find 2.5 seconds here? Yeah. Derek Cross was another one that we raced with that also kicked our ass.
Big time.
First time I ever went to GoPro, relative of Ryan and Martin Truex, Tyler Truex, same thing, like 2.5 seconds faster. I'm like, I know you're small, but why are you that much faster?
Yeah. My claim to fame will be beating Bailey Curry at GoPro. That was
to be fair. I think we all beat Bailey Curry at GoPro.
Well,
he was tough go of it for Bill that day.
No, he was fucking like second or third on the pylon. The first race that we did, Charlie and I did two races with Derek.
I had a picture of it somewhere. I think it was Derek, Noah, and then me and then everybody else. I was like, fuck yeah.
I'm pretty sure then it was Bailey, like me, and then someone else. And then the next race, we ended up, it was all of us were just packed together, just drafting down the front stretch, and just we'd boot each other out of the way, get right back to him the next corner. And it was just like, it was so much fun. It was the most fun I've ever had behind the wheel of anything. I think that time we did both beat.
Does NASCAR Modifieds count as a National Touring Series? Because ended the life of a National Touring Series driver, Matt Swanson.
That did happen.
You know, rumor has it that you can still see and hear his spirit racing at tracks today, but we actually did end his life.
I think Stadies of Limmies is up.
Yeah, that was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, so. I killed him. I committed a vehicular homicide on that young boy.
So we love you, Matt, and we miss you dearly.
Yeah. It has been tough not being able to see him, but
it's almost like you can still see his spirit racing at the 25 card one day ago.
You know, it is really almost like that.
So it's very, it's so lifelike.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
God. Next question, Dylan Turner. This one's for you, Bob. Mm. Can you piss? What? Can you piss wheel the shit out of a
piss wheel the shit? That's words.
What an incredible fucking question. Bob, can you piss wheel the shit out of the mod at Oxford, or do you have to be gentle?
You gotta figure out a way to work cum into that too.
Can you piss wheel the shit out of the cum, or no? Can you
cum shit?
Can you cum?
I hate those.
Anyways, you can race those quite a bit harder than a super late model, but eventually the tires do kind of give up and things kind of start sliding around on top of the racetrack. For 99% of us out there, there was one car that didn't fall off at all, but yeah, it's you can still use a lot of throttle even when the car's not going good. Certainly the most, you know, it's fun to race those around Oxford. Oxford's it's a fickle bitch, so we'd like to definitely get better there the next time we go. But pretty cool to race a car with the same engine and same tires as a pass car and go 2 seconds a lap faster.
Mason Dunn, the next one, says, hockey talk. Can the Maine Mariners win already so Charlie and myself can beef over ECHL stick puck for a week? My Norfolk Admirals have already won their series, and I'd rather see them play Maine over Adirondack.
Well, they are going to Adirondack for the Game 6 in a must-win situation.
Yeah,
they're down 3-2, so they got to win. They got to win two on the road, and it's...
Honestly, the Mariners shouldn't have even been in the playoffs to begin with.
Yeah,
they got in by default.
Yeah, the fact that Newfoundland went out of business with six games to go in the season, they backed in. We love our friends over at the Mariners, but looking like another first round exit for the boys.
Hey, at least they made the playoffs, Bob.
Yep, they kind did. Of they did do that. I wanted to go on Friday. I had thought about going, but didn't. And I think they got their doors blown off. So
that's probably that makes sense.
Speaking of the Cumberland County Civic Center, I did go see Bert Kreischer last week, and I was absolutely delighted to see Chris Porter there.
Great show!
Oh
right?
My God,
great show!
So Chris Porter. If you haven't seen Ugly and Angry, it's either it used to be on Netflix. I really think it's just free on YouTube now. It is so fucking funny. He is such
jotting
a dry.
That
he was
down in my notes.
He was on Last Comic Standing, and he either finished first or second.
I think it was second. Yeah.
And so I've known him forever, and I used to get high as a teenager and watch them.
I forgot about that show. Oh, Last Comic Standing.
Yeah. He is so funny, right? So we go into the show, and you're going to see Bert Kreischer. That doesn't say anywhere about any of his openers. I couldn't find it.
That's
anywhere.
Funny because that was the same with Matt Rife 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I was he had looking, two openers.
Yeah, I was looking everywhere. Even Reddit was like he usually brings two openers. It's these time slots, and then Bert comes on. I'm like, all right, you know.
Well, who's he bringing?
And so the lights go down at like 7:15. Show is supposed to start at 7. Not a big deal. And
that's Bert Kreischer.
Well, no, that's all just, comedians.
Yeah, because
like Matt Rife was the same way. It's like 7 o'clock and 7:15. Then the lights go down.
Because they're getting fucking loaded at backstage.
So when the lights go down, you just hear Portland, Maine, and like the way the guy was talking, I looked at Amanda. I was like, that's Chris Porter. That's Chris Porter. Chris Porter's here. Let's fucking go. And then they bring out one opener. Then they bring out another opener. And I'm like, fuck. I really thought that was Chris Porter. Like, what a fucking idiot. Like, that sounded just like Chris Porter. So I'm sitting there, like, kind of bummed out, even though they had this wicked funny black kid up there. I don't know his name, but he was hilarious. Yeah. Even my dad thought he was funny. He's not racist or anything.
It's good he added that, because the way you said that contextually kind of made it sound like he was a little racist.
No, my dad just didn't even know who Bert Kreischer was, so I didn't think he was going to find his openers funny. But so then, as it's, like, coming to an end, like, it doesn't seem like they're about to announce Bert. So then they're like, ladies and gentlemen, one more opener. Give it up for Chris Porter. And I'm like, yes, dude, come on. And if you haven't seen it, I'm telling you, you would understand my excitement if you go and fucking... Oh,
it's
you gotta
watch the same show that Lindsay and I saw.
You got to watch it.
Fucking great it's show. Special. Incredible show. I assume he called his wife and his daughter at some point.
He did not, actually.
Really?
No.
Huh.
No. He's growing, I think. I think that's growth.
I was going to say, when we were in Bangor, he ended up like calling his wife and his daughter, like literally on the... just. Like his daughter was just like going to bed. She's like, why the fuck are you calling me?
Zach Ryan has the next question. He says, Bobby, in your series, do lap cars normally race the lead lap cars hard? Understand everyone has a race to run, but seems as though the 4 and the 47 were racing hard, even though the 4 wasn't on the lead lap and not letting him by. So that's a product of super modified racing in general. We don't run mirrors. We don't run radios that have spotter capabilities. We just listen to race control. And you just, it's kind of gentleman's rule. Some series don't even use passing flags. I don't know if they were using it the other day or not, but treat it like it's any other car. You know, if you're leading the race, then you're obviously better than the guys that you're overlapping. So you show them a wheel, and you're supposed to be mindful, you know, if there's lead lap cars around you, but that's part of it. I don't think anybody really complains or bitches about it. It's just part of racing super modifieds.
Fair enough. Tyler P is up next here. It looks like he has a few questions. Sup, boys. Few thoughts from the week. One, I'm for sure the only person who is going to know who Bobby Timmons is in Wisconsin.
Ever heard of Jake Zelmer?
We love a Jake Zelmer.
He's from Wisconsin.
He's been here in this house.
So you're wrong, Tyler.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Fucking idiot.
The guy's buying my merch. I'm telling him to suck it.
But I'm going to rep the shit out of some BT3 merch. Do we get a discount after spinning from fourth?
Yeah, take the free shipping and shut the fuck up, all right? Goddamn. I'm already taking a $7 hit on everything.
It's got to make the merch worth less. Yeah. That's tough.
Bro. Had a good old ween step.
Tyler P., that's fucking
just
shot
across the sip.
Oh, yeah, from Stoney.
Stoney, yeah.
Two, shout I specifically bought the RA sub to watch. I assume that means
Racing America
subscription to watch Oxford. Holy shit, that place is flatter than my ex-girlfriend.
Sorry to hear that.
That is, yeah. All right. Yeah. Three, selfishly, I wanted to see a car end up in the water in 3 and 4 at
One
Oxford.
One almost didn't practice.
There was
a super late model that got dangerously close in practice.
There was a bit of an ocean. A lot of water.
Yeah, we were pitted down at that end, and I was like, that's a bog.
Well, he goes on to say, if a super modified plane crash ended up out there, is it a miracle? What? Is it the miracle on the Oxford?
If the guy survives.
Yeah, if you land safely, I guess.
And
right?
I was watching the beginning of the past modified race, and you know how you have those like daydream moments of like, what would you do if like shit went really bad? I started looking at how tall the fence was and was like, somebody actually like got upside down and was in the water. I'm the closest human to them. Like, could I get over there and like save them from drowning? I don't know why that thought crossed my head.
It's rather morbid, Bob.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little bit.
You would look like a real hero if they were already like crawling out, but you just pulled them at the very last second, even like, though they were definitely going to be okay.
And they're in my fire suit going to get ruined for no reason.
Yeah. Like you just got out there at the perfect time. You didn't need to unbelt them or nothing. They're still breathing. You just give them that one last little pull out and everyone's just like, oh, what a hero.
Do you remember when Dale Earnhardt pulled Dale Jr. out of his Corvette after he died? And he caught on fire. Do you remember that?
I don't because I wasn't there, but heard the story.
Yeah. Mm. Dale Jr. caught on fire in his Corvette, and he said his dad pulled him out, and everybody's like, he died like 4 years ago. Anyway.
and then Tupac was there.
Yeah. Four, Mother Nature is a cunt. That is accurate.
Consensus.
Five, outhouse to the penthouse award of the week, Cole Butcher. Wrecked at Pensacola. Yeah, holy shit. Wrecked at Pensacola, then won the 24 hours of Mobile the next night. Almost forgot what the fuck was Jake Johnson doing. Lapped cars that race that hard deserve to get shit hooked.
Yeah, tough day for the 91. Yeah.
I think I honestly think Jake was just trying to stay out of the way, and then he kept getting punted, and then Jake doesn't put up with that, so he just punt him back, and then you're the lap guy fighting with the leader. And it's just
I didn't get to see anything that happened at the Oxford Plains parking lot, but I showed up with the Jake Johnson shirt, and it's been nothing but negative about Jake, which is sad. So,
and to be clear, we do not. Do not condone BFP on BFP.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, Cole Butcher, stuffed it in the fence at Five Flags, blew a tire, I think, coming out of turn four. I think he was in the lead,
He was leading.
Then Nasty ended up winning, I believe, at Five Flags. And then, Cole Butcher won by about pube hair
1,000
over Jake Finch. Which
They tried to do everything they could do to make sure Jake Finch won that race.
To the naked eye, everything that I saw, I was like, Jake Finch won. Jake Finch won. And then I saw the picture that Cole Butcher posted, and I was like, Cole Butcher won. All right.
Yeah, pretty much anyone, who did they give it to?
Cole, but anyone that spun out, somebody got put to the back except for the 51 of the one with the Phoenix on the side of it.
Nothing specific. No. In between 50 and 52, potentially, allegedly.
Did say the number 30 seconds ago.
We don't condone friend of the program on future friend of the program violence.
Well, they're both friends of the program.
Yeah, they're both friends of the program, aren't they?
I know everybody in Maine.
No, Jake got into
Bubba Elrod in the 08. Bubba wasn't driving his own car. He crashed his car at Pensacola.
I was unaware of this.
He crashed his car at Pensacola as well, and he drove Tony Elrod's car and got dumped for the lead.
Nothing specific.
By the 51. And didn't get put to the back. Steven Assey also passed the whole field 3 times and kept getting spun out by different people. The Mobile race was a bad one. The first 90 laps, I guess, were good, and then the final 10 laps were just bizarre. Like, Matt Weaver, I was following along on Twitter from Matt Weaver, and he was like, this is the most bizarre race I've ever covered in my life. That's Mobile talk.
Yeah.
We covered Austin's, right?
Yeah. Dakota DeCourcy said, did anyone actually enjoy the cup race? I thought it was a good race. And
didn't see
Peter Horzepe says, Dover wasn't a horrible race except for the results.
Yeah, well, I thought the result was great. Yeah, I like day, yeah. Really thought I put money on Noah to run in the top 10. Was a little disappointed to find out that I didn't.
I'm telling you, the Noah to win thing is going to pay off one of these days.
Yeah, you just keep hammering Noah top 10s every week because they just keep coming. Yeah, another sixth place run.
Yeah. Certainly better than the Corey LaJoy bet.
Yeah, that's not going to hit. That's the point, Brad. That's the novelty. All it takes is one. Like, Noah is...
Well, Noah was still plus 10,000 to win. I was like, 2,000 for 20 bucks? I mean, fucking, why would you not? But, yeah.
It was
especially after he qualified fifth. I was like, wow, I really don't look stupid here.
So, I was following along on my sailor telephone. I had Sheldon Creed for a top three would have paid me hundreds of dollars. And
in the cup race?
No. In the Xfinity race.
huge Borges, odds in the cup race.
And Borges at one point goes, Sheldon Creed's passing for the lead. There's like 10 laps to go. I'm like, no fucking way. And I'm like, pull out Hulu. There's a yellow. Sheldon Creed's like second or third.
Yeah, Austin Hill like wiggled and they threw the yellow.
Yeah. And so then Sheldon Creed was second or third and fucking... They go into like the next corner or whatever, and Austin Hill like bounces off of Carson Kvyat, gets loose, spins out, and then Sheldon Creed's like fourth, and then he like got back to third, then he was fourth again, and the yellow came out down the back stretch, and then the scoring pylon said he was second, and I'm like, let's go. We fucking won. And then it took him like 15 fucking minutes to correct it because the yellow had come out down the backstretch, so they weren't going by the timing loop at the start-finish line. That's the one that got Sheldon for the second, and he was actually fourth. So fuck me, I guess. And then the next day I had money on Larson. So, all right. Next question.
Dakota Pope, he says, question. After Andy J's awkward banana eating debacle, what's the weirdest thing you've ever had personally or seen in a car while racing? By the way, the rumor is Andy J eats a banana sideways like he's eating corn on the cob. If true, that's extremely sus, and I'm pretty sure he's wanted by the feds.
Well, he might have to.
It's not illegal to eat corn the long way.
I don't know that that's what he was saying.
Oh.
He was saying it like...
You eat a banana.
Eating like it like that.
Like a mustache.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't think he does that.
I think he might have had to because...
Has anyone ever done that?
He might have had to because of his helmet.
He ate it like he was playing a fucking... a harmonica.
He ate the banana like, the banana like it was corn, and that's the problem.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen was... because I obviously have a very cup of coffee racing career, was just going out to Oxford and sitting there going... waiting to pull out onto the racetrack for practice and just looking to my left and some dude just had a lit cigarette.
Yeah, I watched Pancho Darvo throwing out the window when the pace car pulled off coming to the green and weekly show.
That used to be very common.
Yeah, yeah. I knew like it was certainly more common with the fucking, what were they called? The food stamp?
Welfare Wednesday.
Yeah, so I went to go race at Oxford once. Had never seen that at Beatridge. Was lined up and we were getting ready to pull onto the racetrack and I looked to my
Beatridge
left.
Beatridge always was a little bit classier.
No, it's not. Brad literally had a kid said he was going to pull a gun on him after the race. All right. Wow. You can't even say that.
That was Thursday, though.
That's the same thing, though.
Is it, though?
That was poverty night at Beatridge for sure.
Yeah, but poverty night at Beatridge is like middle class at Oxford, I feel. I feel like
I've always thought that, but I don't think we can say it anymore because one place is dead and the other place.
Well, I didn't say that we dislike it.
No.
Yeah, I think we actually love it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was going to use a four-letter H word there, but I just port? Didn't feel right.
Homo?
Port?
I was reading the next question. I didn't hear what you said.
No.
Bob.
Next question. Was Jordan it pertinent? Powell.
How'd I do?
Jordan Powell says, is it a possibility to nuke the Fox headquarters? That coverage yesterday was as good as a dump I took in the second... was as good as the dump I took during the second stage.
I didn't watch a single second of NASCARs at Dover, but I did see some articles going viral about one of the cameramen like zooming in on hot chicks in the crowd. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. I mean...
guy gets paid to do that.
Fucking rad, dude. chicks are hot, man.
The best
use
thing,
your camera to your advantage. The racing sucks.
The best thing about that was that his name was Mitch.
Cameraman number nine.
Yeah. Mitch has his eyes on some other broad or something like that. Whatever Barstool posted. But yeah.
Yeah, why you always... I follow this page on Facebook called Whiskey Riff. And anytime they post about racing, it's gold because it's just shit like that.
We also never answered Dakota Pope's question about the weirdest thing that we've seen in our
Brad and I said cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I did.
I was going to say, remember the
Lewis Anderson had a mouse run up his leg while he was racing once, and he's scared of mice, so he said that
makes sense. That's
valid. You know how hard I would have hit the bad barrier if someone fucking if a mouse ran up my leg?
We had one climb out of the intake of the truck when we got to Oxford Sunday.
Good.
I had gone to get a pit pass, and I just walk in the pits just because he cramped up from being in the truck, so... Dad parks the truck and he gets out and he's giggling. He's got his phone. He took a picture. All you see is two little ears peeking out underneath the hood. And I was like, oh, we had no extra crew member today.
I was going to say, do you remember the lightning bugs?
Yep.
Before they were beetle bugs?
Well, no, they were beetle bugs. But back in the early, early days of Thursday Thunder at Beechridge, you know, they used to have so many cars. What a problem to have was you could only race for 4 years. And then you had to fuck off and move up to something else. So they created what was called the lightning bugs so that you could take the same car and just race on Saturday. But you had to put like a fucking plow truck light on it. And they saved them for the last race of the night. It was so that you could see the blinking lights on them the whole time. And it was something.
Bizarre.
there was eights of them.
Yeah. There wasn't. Frank and Beans, I think, was the.
Yeah,
the
Frank Collins. He was pretty. Some of those old races have been popping up on YouTube. And I watched one the other night where Betty Nelson and Laura, at the time Webster, now McKeg, both had like turquoise VW Golfs and shellacked the field. Derek Nealon's out there in a fucking CRX. And he's like, dude, where'd you find that? I was like, it's on YouTube. And I was like, 21 years ago, man. He's like, yeah, you didn't need to tell me that part.
next up is Ryan Thomas. Weapon of the week, self-nomination. All right, so self-awareness is key. We have established that.
My favorite quality in women. So.
For having
Sounds like my... Ryan's pretty hot.
For having my wedding on a Saturday.
He's off the market. Damn it.
Homo.
The golfer, Max?
You can't say that.
I just did.
You did. You did
Bob
do that.
Did.
Almost safe.
Yeah, we're all here. Yes, Brad right? will edit his out. He'll leave mine in there.
What the fuck? Why would I edit that out?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just more work for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan Thomas, weapon of the week. Say a slur. Don't do that.
Try that one.
Normally I just reach over and hit the button and not say a word, but there's no reaction, so it sounds stupid. But the fact that you just said why that one immediately is going to be. The internet, there's going to be controversy. Yeah.
Brad is. He's a fascist.
See the problem.
That was so fucked up for you to say.
The problem with like hitting that button is that the mics are all on, and there's no way for me to cut it unless I go back and edit it out later retroactively. And I just don't want to do that, so I just hit the button and don't say a word.
We need to figure out a dump button for this. Like Free Beer and Hot Wings has a 15-second delay, so that when you say fuck and you're not supposed to, they just hit that button, and it's hilarious.
Wait, no.
Yep, but it cuts out 15 seconds of audio, so like when you're listening back to their show, it'll just be all jumbled and blurbed, and you'll be like, oh, somebody said something they weren't supposed to.
All right, so we'll start over here. Ryan Thomas, weapon of the week, self-nomination for having my wedding on a Saturday night in racing season.
What a dummy.
That's rule like one.
Yeah, I feel. Come on.
Wi-Fi couldn't handle the amount of phones that had Flow Racing going. I respect
that. That's kind of sick. Yeah. Set up a Roku stick on a TV.
Yeah. I also will do a self-nomination for this. This is... So we get back to Windham, Maine last night, right? Mm. And I'm so beyond done with driving a vehicle, and I still have to go home. And I'm just so tired that like the half of the drive home... basically half of the drive in the state of Maine, I don't remember really doing. Just exhausted.
Blackout drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Off four beers all day. And so I'm like...
Spewing the same anti-Semitic hate that he just spewed a second ago.
So I'm like looking at the GPS. I haven't had it on the whole time, but I'm like punching it in just to like time out when I'm going to be in my fucking bed, like going to sleep. Like I'm so exhausted. So I get to Bobby's parents' house where I leave the camper and park the thing. Thing's crooked as fuck. I'm like, all right. Go to park the thing again. Still crooked a little bit. I can't really see what I'm doing back there. Yeah, finally,
my dad has like a little like trailer storage yard for all of his pals to keep their shit there. So there's like two boats, another camper, a motorhome, a race trailer.
Yeah. So this is where I was backing it up, and I wanted to put it as close to the camper that it was basically going into next to, so there was more room for other trailers and campers, whatever. So I finally get the thing parked. It's as straight as it's going to get. Jack the thing up as far as it'll go. Take one of the sway bars off. Like, all right, good to go. Go to the next one, and the thing's not budging. I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, usually when you just jack the camper way the fuck up, the bar just comes, it gets wicked loose, starts shaking, and it's very easy to just take them off. Never had it be a problem unless I was my truck was actually fucking completely sideways, which it wasn't. It was straight. But I noticed that when the camper lifted off the ball of the truck, the truck moved forward like 4 inches. So I'm like, I don't even know how that's possible because there's no one in the truck.
Did that move forward or the trailer go backwards?
Well, yeah.
Little column A, little column B. Because guess who had to go over and help
me? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't even have fucking any, there's nothing I can do here. And I'm like folding up like a launcher under pressure. I am so fucking tired. And I'm just like, there's nothing I could do. There's not even any tension on the fucking chain. The chain is like, I think the chain was wrapped behind the chain and it wasn't budging because of that.
Was
but
the pin
also,
in it?
No, there was the pin in there, but you couldn't get it to budge regardless. And then so I was like, oh, I'll just take the actual hitch out of my truck. Just drive away. Like nothing happened. And the pin for the hitch had somehow spun during travel, so the actual safety pin was pointed towards the back of my truck, so there's no way for you to get the fucking safety pin out. And you couldn't get the thing to spin backwards.
This sounds
so you could
like
pull
some
it.
Operation I would be involved in.
So I'm fucking, it's 11 at night, and Amanda's like, I'm going to text night. Bobby.
Yeah, I get a text from, I had her number saved, but we have never conversed over text, and at 10:44, hey, what are the odds you're still up? I was like, yeah, I'm still up. I'll be right over.
Yeah. So she goes, I'm going to text Bobby. And I was like, for fucking what? Why would you text Bobby? And she's just like, that's what friends are for. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to inconvenience anybody. And she's just like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't fucking know. And I'm just standing there and I'm like looking at this situation. I'm like, there is legitimately no way I can fix this unless... I was like, the only thing that makes sense is just...
I'm going to cut it.
I'm just going to light it on fire. Like, if I just somehow got the fucking pin to spin and I could pull the safety pin out and just drive away, just leave the hitch on the ground, I don't give a fuck. I was like, that's the only way that I'm going to make this happen. And I couldn't get that to work.
That is last resort.
So then like 10 minutes later, she goes, oh yeah, by the way, I texted Bobby. He's on his way. I was like, oh my fucking God. All right.
But also secretly, you're like, oh, thank God.
Well, in the way I was like, yeah, but then at the same time, Bobby shows up and he's just like, I don't know how this works. And I'm like,
yeah, I've never used trailer tow bars before. Yeah. Even when I hauled Brad's camper, not only did I not use trailer tow bars, I forgot to buy a pin for the hitch. So I used a 1/2-inch bolt and it's a 5/8 hole. So my fucking hitch was chucking back and forth while I was towing this fucking trailer that's a little unstable when you have a 3/8 ton pickup truck.
It's fine.
It helped out immensely that Bobby's race trailer was about a stone's throw away in the driveway because he just jacked up the bar a little bit, released the tension on the fucking chain, pulled it right down, snapped off.
Went and got an old tow plate because I don't use tow plates to check the tow on my super modified, but I still had some old tow plates from my late model days because the ground was very soft where Brad's camper was. You know, I wasn't going to take my Brunheisel jack and just drive it through the earth. Because that's what would have happened. It wouldn't have jacked the trailer up. It would have just put a hole in the ground. So I got the old tow plate, jacked her up, popped it right off. We were good to go in there like swimwear.
Yeah.
I asked Brad, I was like, what was your backup plan? He's like, we were just gonna sleep in the camper. In the driveway.
Yeah. I was gonna wait till sunlight and try to figure out something else the next morning. Hope it just came detached somehow.
On its own. Yeah. You just end up in the neighbor's yard. You're like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Last one, right, I don't know. There's a couple two, yeah, so Scott Fowler. Hi, Scott from Limerick, Maine. Longtime caller, first time listener. Question is, I love that. It always gets me. Question is, what race of midget do you think fucks the best? Thanks. Probably NEMA lights.
Yeah, NEMA lights is a great answer.
Mason Dunn says he heard Hyper Racing makes the most durable midget. Yeah, Hyper is pretty good in the dirt world, the micro sprint world. RJ Kaufman, he says, typically the one two beers deep, three seems to be too much alcohol for their little bodies. Oh, shit, you mean not the people. My bad. No, I think he absolutely means the people. And our pal Perry Webb, this ought to be good. The smallest ones, they make my little light switch look huge.
That's perfect. Perry Webb did just call in, so we're going to play a voicemail after this. Good. I don't know the answer to
that. Is that only a voicemail, or are we able to like answer that live if people call that?
That would just be I don't know. No, it just comes through a voicemail.
It's just straight.
I was thinking about that. I was like,
it must go to just like a server.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a voicemail. I was gonna say, typically the only people that call me live are my mother, and we don't want to talk to her. But yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I'm gonna go with
Beast chassis are pretty nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ones that Matt Seymour's building in Massachusetts, those are pretty fast. Jay Trainer won again at Claremont on Saturday.
Shout out to
lovable little boy, friend of the program.
I'm gonna go with Jake Trainer. That's the race of midget who I think fucks the best.
Not to be confused with Megan Trainor.
Mm.
You know I'm all about that
bass. About that bass.
No trouble.
Is she dating the dude from Spy Kids? They're like kind of weirdos. Yeah. Look it up.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I did want to apologize to Jake Trainor. I got to him with the sunscreen a little bit too late yesterday.
Yeah, you're looking a little red too.
Thanks. I applied sunscreen about 3 or 4 times. I used plenty of protection. I still got burnt. And that sweet little boy, Jake, found him at the bar after it started raining and serenaded him with sunscreen. And he was already burnt. So didn't help. I wish I got to him sooner so that he was wouldn't have to live the next couple days with his life in pain. So.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it is your fault.
I know. Kyle P says, hashtag old whites of the week. Have you seen the uproar every time Richard Petty posts a photo involving Toyota?
No, but I imagine it's not good.
No, there's no way. Yeah. old whites are undefeated.
I'm sure there's some Hiroshima jokes and some things like that. You know, they can't let the Japs into our NASCAR.
Some of these people are going to go fucking falling off their rocking chair when they figure out just simple Google searches and they can find out like a Jaguar's won a NASCAR race before and multiple other fucking Ford manufacturers.
They have 3 voicemails actually. So here's the first one.
Hopefully they're less racist than you were earlier.
Okay. Yeah, that was
Rohn here. Brad, you putting the 2 Zins in and then spitting them out, is that like when the mini stock drivers sit there and just bang her off the chip, you know, and hopes that it fixes the motor? Is that what you were doing there?
You're revving the skip out of it.
Yeah, I am. I am absolutely trying to rev the skip out of it, but I know full well in the back of my head that it's going to lead to catastrophe.
Yeah, resizing the connecting rods.
Yeah, there's a hazard reported by the camper in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. Yeah, the Zins is...
Consistency, though, because you also puked in front of your camper at the fall final.
You're just marking your territory, really.
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to...
Was that the same spot?
No.
Oh, tough.
Is that what my cats do when they throw up?
No, but
they blow motors all the time.
We have 3 that love to just throw up on the cleanest thing that you just most recently.
Every time they eat, it's a qualifying run, and then they blow the motor up.
Well, yeah, you would think that they have never eaten before.
Yeah, eat slower, stupid, because you don't retain any of it because it all ends up back on the floor.
Do simple math. There's 3 of you. There's 3 bowls. You don't have to inhale all 3 bowls at one time. I promise. You're going to be okay.
Stupid.
We're going to have to be quiet for 2 minutes and 28 seconds because Perry Webb has
I don't think we have that in us.
Okay, well.
Hey, you fucking creatures, it's P-Dub again. Sorry to keep bothering you like this, but God damn it, I did a thing this weekend. I drove up to Charlotte for them fucking NHR 4 watts. That's fucking drag racing for you idiots.
Yeah, well, you found a letter.
Drive up was pretty fucking exciting. Got a ticket for doing 33 over. You know in Georgia they'll throw you in jail for that?
I was going to say, that's a criminal offense.
That'll do it anywhere.
Anyways, got to the track late. And lucky for me, they're on fucking Southern time. as you guys like to call it anyways. I tell you what, when them fucking dragsters hit the goddamn fun pedal.
Unreal.
My little thunder thimble. That fucker stood straight up.
Thunder thimble.
My titties actually got hard. I looked over at my girlfriend and her fucking titties were hard. Even the guy next to me, his fucking titties were hard too. Never would.
Thunder thimble.
They sort of build up to them dragsters. But after them, runs sort of get like... sort of get like a fucking girl you pick up at 2 o'clock in the morning at the bar. And when you wake up the next morning, you're asking, what the fuck am I doing here? But you know how that goes. Anyways.
Do I?
Yes.
Hear me out now. I got an idea for NASCAR again. All
right, here we go.
They got a fucking division called the Pro Stocks. And them fuckers look like NASCARs, except for they might be a little longer. And they got them skinny tires on the front and them fucking big-ass tires on the back. And they got 13 fucking horsepower. Now, you can put them fucking Douglas radials on there or them goddamn Goodyear radials on there. I don't give a fuck. You put one of them motherfuckers on the track, and I promise you there's going to be some comers and goers.
Hold the doors.
Just an idea, fellas. Y'all have a good night.
We will pass it on to the upper brass.
Yes.
The next call-in asked to be played on the Patreon show, so that is
good. So, 270, Thunder Thimble, I think.
Thunder Thimble is a great...
Well, yeah, we got a lot of titles this week. What was the first one? Injured, not drunk?
Yeah. Something like that.
With the NASCAR pool, do you want to pull up the results?
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin won.
We do know that. None
Larson
of us
got second.
Okay, so
Truex Charlie got third.
Well, I guess I lose.
Yeah.
Who did you have?
Hospital.
I had the 48. Did he go to the hospital?
No, he finished eighth.
Hospital.
Tough to lose with an eighth, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's almost like we know what we're talking about, Bob.
So that puts Charlie at 17 points, Brad at 18 points, and me at 14 points. And I will take James Dennis Allen Hamlin for Kansas this weekend because he thinks he can go there and win, according to his podcast. So.
Give me Bubba Wallace.
Fuck.
That's awesome because Charlie gets to... Oh, I'm reading it wrong. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, I go last.
Yep, you're right.
No, I already took him.
pass. You did?
What?
When did you already take him?
No, he just said...
Have I selected the 45 car yet?
You have not.
I'm going to take the 45 car.
Ryler Tedick.
Him too.
All right. What do we got going on this weekend, kids?
Hopefully a place where a mannequin falls out of a fucking overwalk thing. Did you see that in the IndyCar race?
Excuse me?
Kind of hope that happens at Star Speedway and I hit it.
Did you? Yeah. A mannequin fell out of like the track walk thing over the racetrack and just fell and then got its arm blown apart by another car that was passing by.
She is expected to make a full recovery.
Where was this?
At wherever the IndyCars were racing. Yeah, whatever that road course.
Mid-Ohio. One of the road courses.
Nashville, downtown, Nashville, uptown.
St. Petersburg.
Uptown, jerk you off.
Walking.
Funk you up. Yeah. The road course at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. I don't know. Brad, who did you pick in the NASCAR pool? I already forgot.
Bubba Wallace. Thank
you. Gotta write that down.
Speaking of old whites being angry. I believe I am Monadnocking this week. I'm excited. Monadnock is a absolute national treasure of a place that is very far away that I don't get to almost ever. So
never have I ever Monadnocked.
I do feel bad when you go full calendar year without hitting a local racetrack. And Monadnock hasn't been hit for a couple years now. So
actually
2 years ago. But yeah, fresh pavement, NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour. They got 18 support divisions.
Why?
Do we have to do that part?
Well...
got to sell those pit passes somehow.
Not if they start after the tour race.
Because Monadnock's like 3 hours, right?
It's 2.5.
It's a poke.
It's a poke.
It's nice 5-hour day.
Isn't it like the part of New Hampshire that we all like didn't ever really think existed?
I still don't think it exists. I've been there and I don't. It's I'm pretty sure you could throw a rock.
New Hampshire, right?
You could throw a rock and hit Vermont, I think,
and Connecticut somehow.
Yeah. Oh, like, okay. There's like 3 or 4 people that were like, "Wait, you're going to Monadnock next weekend? Oh, I'll go. Yeah, it's like 20 minutes from my house." I'm like, "You live in like the middle of Massachusetts." They're like, "Yeah."
Like I said, when I raced there 2 summers ago, like Josh Carey was there hanging out. He's like, "Yeah, I live like right down the road." I'm like, "But you race to Stafford?" He's like, "Yeah, I live right down the road." I'm like, "What? Oh, Stafford's like 40 minutes from here."
Yeah. So Slim and Borges just seem like they're in attendance for
Jizz.
Hanging out there. The great bar scene at Monadnock. If anyone's never been there before, definitely
trophies
are
sweet.
Good time to definitely a good time to come check it out.
Doesn't everything get a bulldog now?
I hope so.
Every race gets a bulldog, which is sick. Like I'm all for that.
I'm gonna spin Jeffrey out when we're there so I can get a bulldog.
Mm.
That's one of those ones where you just like kind of have to have that.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Monadnock.
Yeah. We start the year off Star Speedway on Saturday night.
Are you gonna win?
Probably not. The way yesterday went, I'll be lucky.
When do you do the big one?
May 19th at White Mountain Motorsports Park.
I'll also be there.
Yep. So Star Speedway on Saturday. I think Thunder Road opens this weekend. They got the something or other 150.
Yeah, the checking and savings. At the drive-through teller.
It was like the Merchants Bank and then the Mickelson RV, and I don't know what the title sponsor is.
Community Pharmacy Bank.
I was just going to say.
Well, that was my old sponsor there back in the day. So it's the Something or Other 150 presented by those guys.
The Community Sperm Bank 150.
Ooh, that's the one I visit every day.
No, that's where the teachers go for the teacher workshop.
Oh, that's
that makes sense.
Yeah, full circle. Wiscasset races this weekend as well. I think Oxford races every Saturday for now until November, probably.
They do have like 400 races on their schedule, I think.
Yeah, racing season is afloat. It's not what I'm out of words. We're on 2 hours here.
Oh, not that one, you, Bob. Jesus,
they deserve Christ. Equal pay as well.
All right, that was episode 270.
Race car, here we go, race car.